I got sound if you want to go.
Ready? Rolling.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, talking now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Give me a little dick, will you? Give me some dick.
I don't know what to say to that, Ralph.
Give me some dick. Gay. Give me a little dick, will you? Give me some dick. Gay. Gay. Yes, I'm gay. Yes, I'm gay.
Can anyone smell that?
Yes, I'm gay.
You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex.
Give me some dick. Yes, I'm gay.
I don't know what to say to that, Ralph.
Yes, I'm gay.
And now...
three simple words. I am gay.
I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it.
He's a homo.
Our feature presentation.
That was a masterpiece right there.
Well, that's the Ralph is Gay mix today. I don't know why, but...
that was a masterpiece.
Thank you.
Strong. Well done. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:31. And it's Tuesday, the 30th of September.
Yeah! Oh.
Mm.
Oh. Anna?
Giggity, giggity.
Yes.
What? Checkity, check. In the hizzy.
And so it concludes, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice to see it.
Very nice. And, of course, tomorrow, the start of Foxtober.
Hi, Megan Fox.
When are we going to talk to
Megan Fox?
Megan Fox, A, but B, our new intern, Tiny Dancer. When are we going to get her on? Talk about the world's most perfect woman.
I don't know. I'm not sure what day she works.
Well, she wasn't here yesterday, so I'd say today.
Here today. Here right now. I've seen her.
Yeah. Right. Got to carve out some time to talk about the intern hiring process and what Kevin looks for when he pulls the trigger.
Come on. You people know what I look for when I pull the trigger.
A lot of people apply. Only ex-strippers seem to get hired.
How dare you. How dare you, sir. I am honorable, and the process is fair.
Here's what I love about Kevin, is that he picks interns the same way he picks presidents,
which is
for comedy.
You go for comedy.
He doesn't look for confidence. He doesn't look for brains. He just looks for comedy.
Right. That's how you got to do it. That's how you got to go through life, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and look at the interns we've had. I think it proves that Kevin is right.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, we've had some good interns.
Look at the misfits.
Besides Creepy Wonder.
The freaks.
Besides Creepy Wonder, it's always worked out.
Yeah.
It's always worked out.
Yeah, we've had a pretty good batch, I think, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's funny.
Shaolin
Robot was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that she was a good intern, by the way, but she was infinitely entertaining.
We're certainly not talking about their internship skills.
No, I think when Mike says it worked out, I don't think he's saying that they were good interns.
No.
He's just saying that they brought the comedy.
Or they at least backs everything upside down and backwards to Bean. Yeah. That's to be expected. Yeah, Bean, you pay for it, but we get to enjoy
it. Remember when Shaolin Rain did this?
Shaolin Rain. Computer chips are what's inside my brain. Shaolin Rain.
She was a robot.
I eat dog and drive like I'm insane.
She was. You really did get the impression that she was translating what the words were coming out of your mouth into ones and twos on her hard drive. And it wasn't actual, it wasn't the kind of understanding you expect from a human. It was as if it was being absorbed by a computer.
And she was the dumpster diver, wasn't she?
Yes.
I think she was,
In the $300 pants.
She used to go out behind
restaurants
and get in the trash cans and find food.
Mm-hmm. Well, she wanted to spend her money on other things.
And we were like, why don't you ask your dad for a little more money? Oh, I don't talk to my dad.
Yeah.
How come? She had a lot of things going on.
What did your dad do for a living? I don't know.
He has mysterious tattoos from the Vietnam War he will not tell me about. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like tattoos of devils chopping dudes' heads off and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that. But the part that I remember about that is that she would never ask.
I am too scared.
How does your dad have weird tattoos like that? And at least once you don't go, hey, what's that with the devils chopping off that dude's head?
Hey, Daddy. When you're sitting on Daddy's knee.
Maybe, I don't
know. What's that?
So she was great.
She was.
I'm proud of our intern program. I think that it's fantastic. The person that you should talk to, the person that has to deal with them the most, is Alex, our producer.
Yes.
She's not as happy with our hiring process. because that's where they're out there a lot of the time, answering phones or doing whatever. And so if they're bad, I find them funny, but they're bad, then she has to deal with the badness.
It's a lot more work for her.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, I couldn't get a read on the new guy yesterday yet, for instance. I don't know what his damage is, but clearly he's got something wrong with him or you wouldn't have hired him.
Yeah, he does. He sounds like he's a 13-year-old boy. And I think he's 19. He has 7 kids. I don't know. It was a weird situation.
Okay, but there was something wrong with him.
Of course.
Okay, good.
It's in his fifth year of college. I know that.
It's his fifth year of college, yeah.
Going
so
on
we
six,
applaud
right?
that. We say stay in school as long as you can.
Absolutely.
That way you don't have to get a job.
Well, I just know we got to get Tiny Dancer in here soon while she can still get us a prescription. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think she writes them. I just think she fills them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Got to be a doctor to write them.
Let's see if Cash talks in that area. That's all I'm saying. We're going to take advantage of the semester we've got her. That's all.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
All right.
Apparently, the Christians are mad at Ralph because he made fun of Fireproof.
Oh, damn
but
him.
But it's a bad movie.
Yeah, well, that's not what they heard. They didn't hear it's a bad movie. They heard you're stupid. That's what they heard.
Well, you are stupid if you go to see that bad movie.
Yeah, but that, yeah, I hear you. I'm with you.
We're going to try to make that clarification today, maybe?
Try. It doesn't usually work with people like this because they want to be offended.
Sure.
But just because it's Christian doesn't make it good. It's good or bad on its own. And what we heard, pretty bad.
It
awful.
Was, yeah.
Really bad.
Terrible,
yeah, it sounded like a bad junior high school play is what it sounded like.
Yep, exactly.
And it's a top five major motion picture.
That's the shocking part, that it's number 4, I think, on the list
for
the weekend.
There are some movie-going groups, you know, sci-fi fans are one of them, that will go support something if it's sci-fi, whether it's good or bad. There's a certain percentage of people who will do that. And
sure.
The same thing with this group, the Christian movie-going audience. Don't care if it's good or bad. It's got the right message, so I'm going to go see it.
As long as it's sci-fi.
Or, yeah, exactly.
Christian sci-fi.
Oh, okay.
Also, no, I'm saying there are two different kinds of movie groups that have a similar pattern. Oh, the sci-fi people and the Christian people. Kevin didn't sound like he understood.
And the sci-fi people go to the Christian movies.
No, they go to the sci-fi.
Okay.
A certain percentage go see the movies whether they're good or bad. A certain percentage of Christians go to the Christian movies whether they're good or bad just because they're Christian.
That's gotcha. Simon Pegg will be on the program today.
Yes.
He's the best.
How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. He stars in that with a certain young lady.
Who?
I can't remember her name. She's a brunette.
I know who you're talking about.
She gets in the swimming pool, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that on the ads. She's got those weird blue eyes.
Phoebe Cates?
No.
No, I don't think that's her.
That's Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
She was in that
what
movie with all
name?
The robots, too. The cars that turn into robots, remember?
And didn't that guy get her face tattooed on his cap yesterday in our studio?
Oh, that's
yes.
Right. It is Megan Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Fox. Okay.
Hi, Megan Fox.
That's right. That's
how could we forget?
Wait till you hear the King of Mexico interviewing Baron Davis from the Los Angeles Clippers. King of Mexico.
Well, it is basketball season.
Yes, it is. And I'm here to tell you that the King of Mexico has many talents. Interviewing is not one of them.
Really?
Yes.
I always thought the King had mad skills behind the mic.
Yeah. No. But we'll give you some highlights today.
Okay.
So anyways... How are the Clippers?
This one might not have been the King's fault, though. Let's not be too hard on the King just yet. I mean, I'm not saying that Baron Davis was unmotivated to do the interview.
Well, he wasn't a ball of energy either.
Right.
But Dave somehow...
Like a fantastic combination.
Dave somehow... the knob was on 1 for energy, and Dave somehow turned it down from there. I'm not sure how to do that, but he did.
Is it true that they were both texting their friends while they were doing the interview? Like each of them was on their sidekick?
Yes, talking to somebody else.
Right.
While they were talking. Maybe a little focus would help.
Explains a little bit of what was going on, I guess.
We're going to try and find the K-Rock listener who's been arrested the most.
That's going to be tough.
Story of a dude, I believe, in Kentucky who reached 1,000 times, being arrested 1,000 times.
Hell yeah.
That seems like that's a little much. So we're going to try and find the K-Rock listener in the 6 o'clock hour. Also,
it seems like it's about 970 times more than you should be allowed to be arrested because after the first 30, they throw away the key.
Well, it depends on what you're being arrested for.
It sounds like it's misdemeanor and it sounds like it's...
Drunk in public
kind of stuff.
You can't really put a guy in jail for 5 years for stumbling around the block drunk.
But you could put a leash on him and keep him at home.
It just seems like it seems like it would eventually add up to something else, doesn't it? Yeah. Like it would add up to maybe
like
a little more.
20 strike law or something.
Yeah.
I don't think they have that.
A misdemeanor, let's say 500 strike law would have still cut this guy off halfway.
Yeah, exactly.
But no. Simon Baker will be on the program today just after 6, about a half hour from now, talking about this new TV show, The Mentalist.
Did you see it?
I did.
Good.
I did, and I liked it a lot, yeah.
Awesome.
Very good. Britney sex tape, give you the details on that coming up today.
Yeah!
And Tom Morello will be in the studio.
Oh, dude. Wow.
Tom Morello, guitarist for Rage Against the Machine. He's got a new CD out, Night Watchman, so we're going to have Tom in and talk all about that.
Great.
And ask them about the Republican National Convention, where things went a little poorly.
Awry.
And they ended up with one bullhorn, and they were playing and singing their music with just that through their mouths. So Tom Morello coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat.
Got the brand new K-Rock sticker available now at participating Del Taco locations throughout Southern California. By the way, a lot of email complaints already from the 909. Well, they're saying that the bumper stickers aren't available far enough out into their area code. To which I say, your car is so crappy, there's nothing that we can do to help keep it together with our bumper sticker, okay?
That's the only thing keeping some of them together, K-Rock bumper stickers. I can see why they'd be upset.
Anyway, you register by filling out the back of the sticker and mail it in, and you could win the 2009 Toyota Matrix and the K-Rock Golden Ticket, which is tickets to every single K-Rock show in 2009. I know it sounds too incredible to be true, but it really is. Go to K-Rock.com for all the details. It's 5:50. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Just wanted to thank everybody for the years of fun. It's been a good time, and I hope I'll see you all down the line.
Yeah. Is it a story that's driving you out?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I'm moving to Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Where the crazies are?
Yeah, because the mayor, the guy who's running for mayor down there, Steve Rossi, he has just announced his candidacy, and his campaign slogan is, "Sit on my face."
Just read that this morning, and I said, that's the town I want to live in. I want the mayor's slogan to be, "Sit on my face."
Can we write him in for president?
I wish we could.
Awesome.
Steve says he's had more butts planted on his face than anyone else in the race. Because he advertises on bus benches, see?
Not as good as you led us to believe.
No, but still an interesting way to campaign for a position as mayor by talking about people sitting on your face at bus benches. That seems to be the thrust of his campaign.
Thrust.
But I'm going to start paying attention to these mayoral races. I usually didn't care who's the mayor, but now that you can become vice president in 2 years,
right.
You got to start taking a look at these mayors.
Steve Rossi could be campaigning in 4 years saying, hey, I want to be the VP. Sit on my face.
That's right. I'd vote for him.
I would too. Here's some good news. Travis Barker released from the hospital yesterday.
Great.
Just 9 days after surviving that plane crash, which of course also injured DJ AM and killed 4 people. He's expected to make a full recovery from the severe burns he suffered while escaping the crash. And DJ AM, whose burns were also major but less serious, was released from the hospital earlier in the week. So, looks like the guys are going to be okay.
That's amazing.
Although I would wonder if you're ever really okay again after going through a trauma like that.
Yeah.
The memories.
The nightmares.
I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Considering what they've been through.
Imagine every time they get on a plane, which they're going to have to do a lot.
Or every time someone lights a cigarette, be like Frankenstein. fire bad. Don't need that. Dennis Quaid is talking back.
Oh, good.
About his ex-wife, Meg Ryan. You may remember last week I did a story where she was talking about the end of their marriage. And how it had nothing to do with her affair with Russell Crowe because he had been unfaithful many times previous to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Dennis is saying to the New York Daily News, he finds it unbelievable that she continues to rehash and rewrite the story of their relationship in public, and says the most regrettable part is that their son Jack has to be reminded of their painful divorce every time she does.
Yeah.
Maybe time to move on for Meg.
Maybe. But if she, and she has been painted as just this horrible woman. I know women who won't go see her movies because of this whole deal. So if she did fail to speak up then, which was a mistake, I could kind of understand her wanting to set the record straight.
But how many years has it been?
It's been a lot. I don't know what's prompting her now.
6 years?
Okay, really?
Yeah. If you didn't speak up then,
right.
Statute of limitations may have run out on you trying to make good with the public.
6 years.
less apologizing for your marriage, more apologizing for the women.
How
about
exactly.
that? Yeah, I can back that up.
That travesty you should all talk to us about. Meanwhile, people talking about her appearance in that film say that her new and improved inner tube lips aren't due to Botox or any other chemical. Insiders are saying she had the fat sucked out of her ass and re-injected into her lips. That's why they're so plump. Hmm.
She had her ass injected into her lips.
Yes.
That sounds like a punchline of some kind.
No. Apparently, they took the fat out of her ass and injected it into her lips. And Florida candidate Steve Rossi wants to know if she'll sit on his face.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Gene Simmons.
How are you?
Nice I saw you coming up to the microphone there.
No, how
got
are
something
you?
To say?
I do. Listen, nice speaking of injecting things into lips.
Uh-huh, Gene.
All right. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Nope. Do not.
Feel free to finish.
Lindsay Lohan
may be off the wagon.
Oh, now what?
Friends are saying she is cocktailing and doing blow again.
Yeah.
And that another stint in rehab could be only, in one friend's words, minutes away.
Are you kidding me?
So what's it now? 5:55? I'll keep you posted. By around 7 o'clock, we're hoping okay. for an announcement.
Wow.
Did you see the photos of her on PerezHilton.com yesterday?
No, I didn't.
It's her leaving with a liter of soda, a bag of Doritos, and two cartons of cigarettes.
She's on the Britney diet.
That's the breakfast of champions yes. right there. God yep. bless her. You'll never believe who's a hero.
A hero?
Masioka?
Masioka. See, last night, so good. Heroes episode
good,
last night.
Good show.
Really good last night. I like that speedster. That Daphne. That girl who runs yeah. real fast. She's hot.
Really? She her power is that she can run fast?
Yeah. It's like the Flash.
Like Hero does.
Comes in handy, man.
Yeah.
No, Hero teleports.
Right.
That's she true, she yeah. runs really fast. Just
closes his eyes.
Yeah. yeah. She's gone. That'd come in so handy.
I find it hard to believe that Siler just signs up, though, to play nice.
Well, obviously he didn't, if you saw the end of the episode.
Yeah.
He is
yeah.
not he's not a good guy yet. But I think it's an interesting yet. Direction to take the character.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Heroes become villains, villains become heroes. Just like real life. Anyway, another hero who doesn't have superpowers, Jack Osborne.
Nope.
Jack Osborne a hero.
Nope.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Apparently he was in London the other day and spotted a purse snatcher sneaking up on a woman. The purse snatcher snatched the purse, as purse snatchers are wont to do.
They do that.
And Jack took matters into his own hands by giving chase and tackling the guy.
Good one, fatty.
Getting the purse back for the lady and holding the thief until the police arrived.
Wow.
That is absolutely not true.
Bystanders say it was quite the display of bravery, while Jack said it just felt like the natural thing to do.
That is absolutely incorrect.
No, apparently it's true. I'll tell you, that kid has turned his life around.
Yeah, he looks really
he's
good.
He's like MMA fighting now and yep. climbing mountains, and he's lost a ton of weight, and apparently he's clean and sober.
I know.
And now he's fighting crime.
Who would ever yep. thunk it?
Come on.
What?
He's fighting crime.
Tackling a purse snatcher sounds like fighting crime to me. Why do you hate, Kevin?
I don't.
Why
I
do
just,
you want everyone just to be just a slovenly, lackluster, ne'er-do-well like yourself?
I just find it hard to believe that celebrities are heroes all the time. Like, how many times have you seen somebody run up and grab a purse, Ralph?
Never.
Me either. Bean?
No, I have
Lisa?
Not.
Lisa?
Nope.
Mike? Nah. Doesn't happen to normal people.
Well, we don't spend a lot of time walking in the inner city either.
Well, Jack Osborne does?
Apparently, this section of London was a little dicey, and that's where it happened. If we walked the streets of New York City or something, we'd probably see it more likely.
Probably what happened
was... I don't know if you're ever, touring the streets of Tarzana, walking around looking for purse snatchers.
Not really.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I got Jack Osborne to do that. I don't need it.
It's true. You should get him a cape. Miley Cyrus may be in danger of losing her voice. Star Magazine is reporting that she has a nodule on her vocal cords.
Stay away, Gene Simmons.
And if left untreated, it could lead to permanent damage. Oh, please, please let me wish. Let me wish Miley Cyrus can't sing anymore.
Yes.
It'd be awesome.
Do you like teenage girls?
And Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Wanted to leave Brad Pitt, according to In Touch Magazine.
Yeah.
Sources are saying Angelina is tired of Brad leaving her at home with the kids while he trots around the globe, saving the world with environmental BS, filming movies, partying with friends. They say Brad convinced her to stay, and their representative has recently released a statement saying the couple has not split. Geez, Angelina, what's one way you won't get stuck at home with a bunch of kids? Oh, don't have a bunch of kids!
Yeah.
Stop collecting them like Hummels.
It does seem like
Hummel's a little porcelain figurine. That's a very big collectible item.
It's what Claire's adopted mom collects on the Heroes, right, Ralph?
Actually, it was what Siler's mom.
Siler's mom used to collect
before he murdered her.
That's right. Yeah. The little Hummel figurines.
That's what happens when you collect Hummels. You get murdered
by your son.
Yes.
It does seem like you're not doing everything you can to keep your man at home if you fill every single space in your home with an infant.
And this is pretty cool. They are now selling Knight Rider GPS units. Have you heard about these?
No.
It's a black box that's got an LED light on the front that goes back and forth like the old school Knight Rider car used to have on the front.
Right.
And the voice of the GPS is William Daniels, the guy who was the original voice for Kit
on
the Knight Rider.
Remember him? Dude. Yeah. Michael, be careful, Michael. They seem to be coming up behind us.
That dude gives you directions on your GPS.
That's funny.
Make a left to the 7-Eleven, Michael.
Do you want to hate life, Ralph?
Like I don't already.
You know who owns the original kit, the one, the Trans Am that they actually used in the show with all the bells and whistles?
With that scrolling light across the front and everything?
The real one that they filmed with that has a souped-up engine, all the bells and whistles, the whole deal.
Psycho Mike, I ask you, who owns that car?
Joey Fat One.
No way!
It's in his garage.
Yeah. Oh, that's not right.
How does Joey Fat One get that?
He's balling. He was it NSYNC or whatever
was one of those boy bands. I guess he's
balling, so he just
spent his money wisely.
He decided he wanted it.
He's balling.
He's hella balling.
He's got Skrilla.
he does have Skrilla.
Girl, holla! Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Barry Williams, better known as Greg Brady from the Brady Bunch, turns 54 years old today.
Holla!
Fran Drescher is 51 years old today.
Oh, no.
Remember that conversation Gene had with Fran?
I do not.
Remember the red carpet of one of the Bond movies? One of the Pierce Brosnan Bond movies.
That was the best.
I remember it as if it was yesterday.
The makeover of the night on the red carpet. Fran Drescher joining us up here. You know, we were talking as you were coming up that you've done a movie with Pierce Brosnan before, The Beautician and the Beast. Did you ever imagine he'd end up being a James Bond?
I didn't. Pierce Brosnan was not in Beautician and the Beast.
Really?
I think I'm going to get back on the line.
Yeah. And that's why I don't do the red carpets anymore.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
In Bean's defense, Timothy Dalton was in that movie, another movie James Bond.
Right, and she acted as though she couldn't see the connection.
Completely understandable mistake.
Yeah.
I think she was. I was there. I think she was insulted by the makeover of the night.
True.
Because what that means is, normally she's a pig. But now look at her, she doesn't look so piggish. I don't think it started well from the very beginning with
I blame myself for every aspect, beginning, middle, and end of that.
Makeover of the night.
Monica Bellucci.
Yes.
Celebrates her 44th birthday today. Tony Hale, very funny actor from Arrested Development, is 38. Jenna Elfman, who hates Kevin, is 37 years
sure
old
does.
Today.
Doesn't hate, just yell that.
Oh, she hates you.
Nah.
Yeah.
We're good friends.
Trust me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right now it's time to talk to Simon Baker, who is the star of this new show, The Mentalist, which is on CBS Tuesdays tonight at 9 o'clock. Good morning, Simon.
Morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good.
Tell us about The Mentalist and how you got involved with this.
Script came down to me. I was in Australia at the time on holiday. Came down. Wife read it. Said, it's pretty good. You should have a look at it. So I picked it up. Liked it immediately. Rang, got a call from the writer Bruno Heller, and he's an English chap. He created that show Rome, and got on really well. Got on like a house on fire. And I flew back over 3 days later. I was on the set shooting it.
3 days later?
Wow.
Yeah, they had to go pretty quickly. So.
That's a little bizarre.
What do you do to pass the time on the many, many flights that you must take back and forth between Australia and the United States? That seems like a flight I would need about a year to get mentally psyched up to survive.
Well, that's exactly what I did. I worked on the script. You know, I had 14 hours straight on the plane to prepare for shooting a couple of days later. So I did that. I catch up on a lot of the movies that I'm sort of embarrassed to go and see.
Sure. Yeah, there you go. This character that Simon Baker is playing in The Mentalist, Kevin was just telling us, is so much like him. He can't believe how similar they are, because he's a guy who just pays attention to every single detail. Steel Trap Mind never misses a thing. Something like that must be really fun to play. I mean, when they give you material that makes you sound so smart, you must enjoy reading those lines.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Everyone likes to come off really smart.
Sure.
You know, and the great thing about acting is when it's written that you're really smart, you don't actually have to be that smart. So it's a saving grace for me. I have a lot of fun. The character's a bit of a prankster. I always loved detective shows. I always liked crime-solving shows.
Right.
You know, particularly before they went under the microscope.
Right.
You know, when it was really about watching someone, like, this guy's lying to me or he's telling me the truth. I love con stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. My character's a bit of a con man, so as well as, you know, he's the prankster detective.
Prankster detective. I've never heard those two words together.
Simon, in the first episode, we see a lot of backstory about your character, including sort of his prior career as a charlatan, mentalist, psychic. Did you do any research? Did you watch any of those guys like John Edwards talk to the people beyond the veil of death and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, you see, you know, you run into that stuff every day, don't you? You know, you turn the television on, there's always some sort of psychic there making someone cry.
Yep.
Reaching back into their past. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube I looked at. I got kind of into watching a lot of these guys debunk people, a lot of the skeptics. You know, it's a great piece of footage is the Johnny Carson thing with Uri Geller.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, where he tries to make him bend the spoon and he just doesn't feel it that night.
Yeah. Classic. And Johnny Carson was all over him like a cheap suit.
He was. But you know, are you getting...
What's wrong, Uri?
I'm not feeling it.
Are you getting any feedback from people about the whole psychic angle? Because you, in the first episode even, you say there's no one that has that power. There are a lot of people that believe that.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of people that believe it. People will believe what they want to believe, and it's not. I'm not in a position to say, "Hey, don't believe it." If you're willing to pay $20 to go and see a psychic down on the PCH, then off you go. That's your $20. I've done it before.
You have, but just for comedy?
No, just because I was feeling depressed and I wanted to pay someone $20 to talk about me.
I mean, I've always
good things for you.
I've always thought if they could really tell the future, don't they deserve more than $20? Really? I mean,
it's a pretty valuable skill.
Yeah,
they're on the deal. Themselves.
$20. So you play this ex sham psychic, and your powers of observation are amazing. I have a clip. You just walk up to the scene, everybody else is talking, and you're just kind of standing there, just looking around, not really saying or engaging anybody.
Well, he's with the California Bureau of Investigation, which I think is like a shaky agency. I've never heard of that before, by the way.
It's a classic TV name.
It is.
And the wife and the husband are giving a statement to the press.
About their daughter who was murdered.
Their daughter's been murdered, and you were just watching the wife, and then you followed her into the house, and this is the conversation that you had with her.
What do you know?
All sorts of things. You really only pretend to like skiing, right?
Yes.
But you're pleased that your best friend recently gained some weight, about 10 pounds. You wish you'd been more adventurous when you were younger. You love India, but you've never been there. You have trouble sleeping. Your favorite color is blue.
I don't understand. You're psychic.
No. Just paying attention.
Yeah, I went back after that. I was like, how does he know all that? Not possible.
Well, I figured that the easiest thing is I looked at the pictures on the wall.
Right.
The woman's got big, bright blue eyes. I dare anyone to suggest that someone's favorite color isn't blue when their eyes are bright blue.
Interesting.
You know, all of these are just huge leaps, I must say. By the way, I sound like on the radio, listening to that, I think I should do voiceovers for movies. Like, your favorite color is blue.
Totally.
Like, dang, but you haven't, did it? Sounds pretty funny.
Simon, how hard is it to work with the American accent? Because you do it brilliantly. It really is seamless.
It's pretty good. I feel pretty confident with it. Occasionally, like, I'm working with a director at the moment that's English, and he's like, hey, what's going on? know. And then every time I say action, I go, oh, you know, I got to get that out of my head because it throws me. But occasionally, you know, you just got to keep it in check. Another technical thing.
I'm so glad there are British actors and Australian actors coming over here to do American TV series, because we're just out of actors here in America. So I'm glad you guys have come here to fill the void.
We're all in politics, man.
That's true, yes.
Well, it's better that there's fewer jobs for guys like you, Ralph.
Exactly.
Yeah. Start importing them from around the world.
Yes. It is a, it's definitely a fascinating character, and that's an interesting choice, the way you play him so low-key. I mean, you feel like... I mean, it totally makes sense for this character because he is so smart and he is so observant. He would be the guy who would be kind of quieter than everybody else and paying much more attention and not giving away everything all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He's not always low-key. I mean, we've done 7 episodes. He perks up every now and then. But, yeah, he's the guy that sort of is more comfortable inside other people's lives and heads than he probably is in his own.
Yeah, and well, given what happened with his family and his need for sleeping pills and that kind of stuff, it's almost a throwback to sort of the Sherlock Holmes stories where Holmes was living in his head so much it kind of made him crazy, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it totally is that. It's in that mold. It's kind of what I like about it.
The Mentalist is the name of the show. It just premiered last week. It's not too late for you to get on board with a new episode tonight at 9 o'clock on CBS. How long, I have to ask you, Simon, how long till the Robin Tunney in a swimsuit episode? Please tell me that'll be here by sweeps.
She's going to love hearing this.
Yeah, she will. Yeah.
Going to love hearing it.
Pass it along. Tell her she's got a request.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'll put that in. I'll log that for you, and I'll see you. I'll get back to you and see how it goes.
There you go.
All right. We appreciate it. Simon, thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show today. Good luck with the show, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 6 o'clock.
All right. Tell me about your new hero. What's going
Henry
on with
Earl
boy Henry?
Is still here behind bars today after being arrested for the 1,000th time.
Arrested for the 1,000th time.
59-year-old Henry Earl is known for his extensive record in Fayette County. He's mostly been picked up for nonviolent alcohol-related offenses. Henry Earl has spent 4,123 days behind bars to date. He has been arrested 35 times this year alone and spent 189 days in jail as a result.
On average, Earl is out of jail about 2 days before he lands back behind bars, although this time he was out for 4 days before Woo! His latest arrest.
He's out for 2 days on average.
And then he got hungry.
Thirsty.
That's what I wonder. They said he's been in jail 189 days in 2008 so far. Don't you just give him a room and say, see you tonight, or, you know, Henry? Don't you just send him out in the morning and say, come on back tonight?
There are websites dedicated to this guy. There's a calendar with his picture on it. There's a place where you can donate to him if you want to help him buy beer.
Oh,
like,
my
he needs
God.
That. He gets out of jail after 4, 5, 10 days. I'm looking at his arrest sheet, and it just basically it's everything from 5 days to 20 days in jail.
Okay.
And so every time he gets arrested for public drunkenness, he pays it off by going to jail, gets right out, goes drinking, goes right back into jail. You think he has a house or
no. He doesn't need one.
Or does he just use jail for that?
I think so. He couldn't possibly. I mean, I guess he's on. What? He's getting assistance from the government for money.
I imagine.
Yeah, he can't hold a job.
He doesn't have a job.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so that's his income, but yeah.
Let me see. It says here, nearly all of his arrests have been for public intoxication with charges of disorderly conduct, third-degree trespassing, second-degree trespassing, and apparently one count of begging. He is in Fayette County Detention Center. The website there is where he became famous because people started falling in love with his many colorful expressions in his mugshots. But 1,000 times, it does seem like that maybe is not the best use ever of the police department's time there.
Right.
I mean, like, they're spending a portion of every single day processing this dude. It seems like there's got to be a better system.
Somebody needs to go get Henry. I'm not going to get Henry. You go get Henry.
I got Henry twice last week. It's your time, man.
That would suck.
They probably got to clean him up, too, don't you think?
Oh,
that's
sure.
Probably where he gets his babs.
Public drunkenness,
oh.
Yeah.
Gross.
Over 1,000 times.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. I mean, you start thinking about people who are chronic lawbreakers, people who have been in trouble with the police since they were, you know, teenagers, and that person has been arrested 10 times is a crazy amount
to
be arrested.
And that's a lot, yeah.
And that's a lot. Then you start getting into the category of people who have been arrested 50 times, and you go, come on, that's not possible. This guy is 1,000?
He's my hero.
I can't even imagine it.
He's accomplished more in his life than I ever will. We're going to take some calls now. We're going to look for you, the fine K-Rock audience. How many times have you been arrested? Because we need to try and see if we can get anywhere near this guy's record.
I bet we won't find someone who's been arrested 100 times.
Oh, I don't think so either, but you never know.
It's got to be so few of those sorts of people.
Right. But
I think all of those people who are in the 100-plus club are people like Henry who are just drunk and disorderly all the time.
And they're probably not up early getting ready for work, listening to the radio.
Let's take Johnny real quick in Long Beach. Right. He's a good start. 1-800-520-1067. How many times have you been arrested? Johnny, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. I got 15 times in 3 years.
Wow.
15
That's pretty
times.
Impressive,
well
dude.
Done.
Nicely done.
What did you get arrested for? All same thing?
Here's the great thing. 90% of them are all drunk in public. One of them is assault with a deadly weapon.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. I ran a car into a motorhome with a homeless guy living in it. So.
Wow.
Well, he probably had it coming.
Yeah, I thought so.
15 times right. in 3 years, though. Don't you feel like your life's spiraling out of control?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, Kevin and Bean, I'm fine. Things are going great.
Because you still have 985 more times to catch up to this dude.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on it.
All right.
Johnny, you sound completely sober and smart and together and everything right now. Are you in a period of being sober right now?
No, not at all. I'm a functional alcoholic. I show up to work every morning on time.
Okay.
And you're able to do your work, and then you just every night after work you just start drinking till you pass out or get arrested.
Just get plastered and pass out usually or get arrested.
Good times, but only 15 in 3 years.
Yeah,
dude, 1,000 arrests this guy has.
That guy's out of control.
Yeah, you need to catch up.
Yeah, he's out of control.
That guy's out of control. Thank you, Johnny. More calls 1-800-520-1067.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
And then what was really weird to me was that she, like, called Audrina and was like, what do I do? And, like, if you're having to question it so much, like, then it's not worth it.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
That's pretty good.
That's good a lot right of drama there. For them.
What's up with Henry Earl is the website that I'm on right now, talking about Henry Earl, a Kentucky man who just got arrested for the 1,000th time. Guys, he's been arrested 35 times just in 2008. 35
wow.
times this year. Overall, since 1992, he spends on average 243 days of every year in prison.
That must just be what he's fine with that. I mean, obviously,
I'm sure
it's
got to be. Yeah, he has friends there.
Obviously, it's not driving him away, or he wouldn't go that often. You'd try to, you know, avoid it.
We don't expect to find anyone who's been arrested that many times, but we are always fascinated with how many times you, the K-Rock listener, have been arrested. How many times have you worn the handcuffs? I mean where the police were involved. So you can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, how about Casey in Norwalk? He's on line 3 this morning. Casey sounds like an interesting fellow.
Hey, Casey.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. How many times have you been arrested?
22, and the 22nd time was on my 22nd birthday.
Nice.
Wow.
It's all about the numbers.
Yes.
You were arrested 22 times by the time you were 22.
Yes.
For what mostly?
Drunk in public.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what happened at age 22? It says here you're 28 now. What happened to clean you up for the last 6 years?
Ah, man, I had to get a job.
Yeah, that sucks, doesn't it?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for the call, Casey. Yeah, he's drunk right now.
He sounds like it, doesn't he?
You know what I mean? Let's go to Dave from Orange. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up, guys? What's up?
What's happening?
Hey, Dave.
How many times?
22, man. 22.
22 times you were arrested.
That's a magic number.
What what for?
Prostitution, believe it or not.
Prostitution?
Really?
Isn't that a more serious crime?
Sorry?
Isn't that more serious?
Well, no, you know what? Because they acquitted the charges, you know? I never got caught for having sex with the women. See, when I got out of high school, I started this, I guess my own, it wasn't really a business, it's kind of just, you know, I wanted to get laid, I guess.
Sure.
And, you know, I started putting up, postings on Craigslist, you know, just say, you know what, if you're lonely, you know, I can hang out with you, do whatever.
And that worked? And,
yeah, and if people call you up, you set up your email, they call you up and, you know, either show them a good time And I guess they try to get me for prostitution because I charged them after. But since I never had sex with them, most of the time they charge me for having sex with them. You know, dropped all the charges on me. So
okay, hold on a sec. Hold on a sec. I'm very confused here. You were putting ads on Craigslist looking for women to come over to have sex with you?
Yep.
Okay, and then so you got the nerve to do that? It works, and then you try to charge the women?
Yeah, man.
Haven't they done enough for you?
Why
Dave?
Not?
I mean,
did they pay you most of the time?
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, I'm not charging them a lot. It's like $50, $75, you know. So that gets me through.
But why are you paying women to come over and have sex with you?
He's not. They're paying.
I mean,
him.
Why are they paying you though? I don't understand why they would do.
Are they older women?
Yeah, they're older women. Yeah, they're older women. See, my ad, what I put is, if your husband's, you know, not at home, you know, and you're lonely, give me a call, and you know, I'll, you know.
That is brilliant. How many calls a week would you get?
You know what? You know, no lying to you. I got the first week about 6, because I guess the way I put the ad is saying, you know what, does your husband maltreat you? You know,
right.
does he not pay attention to you? You know, do you need a young guy? You know, give me a call.
Right, we got it. How many? You know, so 6 times stuff. The first week.
Yeah, and it keeps, you know, every week I guess same customers sometimes, and then other than that, you know, every other week you get 2.
How about that?
Yeah, man.
About 2 more weeks, and then how did you get caught? Where law enforcement was looking over Craigslist in that section, and then they would show up and arrest you?
I'm assuming that it is what happened is after a couple times, you know, I went to a residence, you know, I came out, they stopped me, they said, you know what, we got this this posting on you,
I got you.
Your email, we set you up, and I told them, you know what, I told them my situation, you know what, guys, I'm not having sex with them. I'm just hanging out with them, you know.
Right, sure.
You know, I just don't give me money. And, you know, they didn't believe me. I went to court. My cousin's an attorney. He represented me, and everything was cool. But I guess since they knew that I did that, I know I'm not going to stop it because it's money.
Of course.
So I guess they kept.
Well, it makes sense. Now that you're on their radar, they'll keep checking, you know, your ad.
Sure, yeah.
And that kind of stuff.
All right, dude. Very interesting work. Thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. Got an email from our former producer, Lightning, who now works at KROQ.com, reminding us of our old friend, Gil, who we talked to from time to time on the show.
Oh, yeah.
He says that Gil has been arrested well over 100 times.
Oh, no.
I believe it. I believe it.
Maybe, yeah. Let's go to John in Los Angeles. John, you're a cop from L.A. County?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean?
Talking about people who've been arrested. This dude had been arrested 1,000 times.
Yeah, that's not possible. Otherwise, I don't know, maybe that police department has nothing better to do.
What should happen? I mean, what do you mean it's not possible? I don't understand how it's not possible.
I don't know. It just seems like 1,000 times you think they would finally arrest him for something that would put him away for a while.
You would think, right?
But if he doesn't do anything that has a long time attached to it.
He would pay. Yeah, he would go into jail for 10, 15 days every single time he got arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. I mean.
What's the most you've seen?
The most I've seen is like maybe 30, 35 that I can recall, you know. So. A 1,000 just seems like a crazy number.
Well, we got to get on the stick, people. Come on.
Yeah, our people are just not trying. You're going to get passed up by Kentucky? Come on, people.
Come
get
on.
With it.
Get out there and get arrested. That's what we're saying, right, John?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Bart in La Mirada. Good morning, Bart.
Good morning.
How many times have you been arrested, dude?
40.
40?
Wow.
Dude.
Did you say 40?
Yeah, 40 times.
What, 960 what fewer than our guy in Kentucky.
What for mostly?
Drugs, drinking, identity theft, burglary.
You're bad news.
Well, not anymore.
You spent a lot of your time in jail, didn't you?
I just did 2 years in prison, and now I've been out a year and almost off parole.
Hey, I'd just like to throw out a word to the fine advertisers of the Kevin DeVine Show that this is the quality audience that you can reach by buying commercials between 5 and 10 a.m. on K-Rock. Bart, after you're arrested 10 times and then 15 times and then 20 times, is there any bottoming out? Is there any wake-up call where you go, wow, have I got to turn my life around?
Yeah, prison.
Yeah,
prison will do that.
Prison does it.
Yeah, after being on run on the East Coast for about 6 months, then going to prison after being extradited, I turned my life around.
Were you somebody's bitch for 2 years?
No, they were mine.
Oh, sure. Oh,
that's well what turned done. His life
yeah.
around, right?
That turned my life
around.
You're
going to miss that and want to head on back, man.
I was wrecking those prisoners. Hey, Gil.
Hey, what up, man? Kevin Bean.
It's our old friend Gil. Lightning just called to tell us that he'd been arrested over 100 times, and I said, no way, not 100.
Over 250 times.
Come on, Gil. Are you serious?
I've done like 17 years, like the 17 years of my life in jail. Easy.
How old are you, Gil?
I'm 47.
You look terrible. 47. Now, are you, you sound sober now, are you?
Hey, what? Hey, guess what?
What?
Right now, they just ran 3 times through the bus. And I ain't lying. I'm going back to the 909. I'm just coming from Echo Park.
All
and
right.
I don't get you guys on the radio over there.
That's okay.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right, Gil. Listen, we got to run, but 250 times, you are the king.
Easy. Yeah. Over 250. Yeah. Like 17 years of my life in jail.
Yeah.
I heard that somewhere.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot of jail right. time right there. And by the
call,
way,
call us when it gets to 300.
Every time we would talk to that guy, he would have another scar on his head from just getting cracked in the head. Because he's just an a-hole. He drinks and he turns into an a-hole.
At least he mouths off to the cops when they arrest him.
Yes, he does.
We've got a huge 7 o'clock hour planned. Actor Simon Pegg is going to be joining us. He's in that new movie co-starring Megan Fox, by the way. Also, mm-hmm. The King of Mexico with his latest interview that you got to hear to believe. And we'll give you the very latest on the Britney Spears sex tape after the news at 7. Right now, Ralph's got all the other showbiz beat for Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
You guys just played Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Amazingly. Finally, you guys are playing some Peppers.
I know. It's been a while.
But I thought it was interesting that I read this morning that the latest enrollee at the University of Southern California flee mm-hmm.
from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Is enrolling in school?
Just enrolled at USC.
You're such a dick.
Apparently he's going to take some classes and his major will be in music.
Huh. I wonder how he'll do.
Probably not well.
That's strange.
Don't you just go to the professor and say, hi, yeah, I'm Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers, sold millions of records, give me an A.
Yeah, I'm not going to show up to any of the classes. But I'll take it.
Just give me the A, because I'm better than you.
Here are my CDs. Yeah. Talk to you later.
Anthony, how's Flea doing in college? Have you talked to him about that?
And he's doing fine.
Wackadang, smackadunga, wang tango, California.
Yeah. Michael Bublé is quite the gentleman.
Yeah.
People Magazine did an interview with him recently, and he just gushed about his ex-girlfriend, Emily Blunt.
Ooh,
very talented and attractive actress, saying that she's an amazing woman. He said they broke up because they couldn't manage to squeeze any time in together while she was making movies and he was doing music, and he said the split is still painful. He said sometimes he has nights where he goes home, curls up into a ball, and just cries about it.
He said that?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Wow.
Clumsy bastard, shut up. You're ruining it for all of us. Shut up!
Goes home and cries.
Yesterday, I made a mention of a new film called Fireproof.
Yeah, we didn't know what it was.
We had no idea what it was, so we did some research, and turns out it's a holy roller flick starring Kirk Cameron, who's done several of these. And Kirk Cameron's a horrible actor.
Yeah.
That was sort of the gist of what I had to say.
Well, and he doesn't have anything to act on, either. The script was terrible as well.
Yeah, it sounded just awful on every level.
Poorly done.
And a lot of
very religious people
were very upset with me.
Yes. Well, they thought you were making fun of their Lord and Savior. You were making fun of the movie.
Yes. And I refuse to believe Jesus had anything to do with that movie. Because if he did, it would have made it better. If Jesus was
Jesus
a producer,
would hate the movie.
He would have made a much better film.
He would have punched it up?
He would, absolutely.
Okay.
He would have doctored the script a little bit. Read the story yesterday, pretty interesting, about Kirk Cameron and his movie Fireproof. Here's the situation. Apparently, he has an actress playing his wife in the film, and in the movie, they do play man and wife, and the whole gist of the film is them rekindling their struggling relationship.
Right.
He had to kiss the actress.
Right.
Here's the problem. Kirk Cameron will not kiss any woman who is not his real wife.
That's acting, though.
No, sir.
Not even in that situation?
I have made a commitment not to kiss any other women, he said. To get around the conflict, the filmmakers had to dress his wife, actress Chelsea Noble, like the female lead in the movie with her clothing and a wig, and shoot the scene from behind
so
that Kirk Cameron could kiss the character in the film. Are you kidding us?
Really?
I kid you not.
Asshole.
So when I'm kissing my wife in the movie, we're actually husband and wife honoring marriage behind the scenes, Kirk said.
Well, they may as well just use the real actress and put saran wrap over her mouth.
No, that would just be too
really?
Close,
That's
Lisa.
Too close?
Because no. The Holy Ghost can go through plastic.
Wow.
Listen.
Imagine a mouth.
Shut up. Shut up. Why don't they just cast Chelsea Nobles as
right.
wife?
That's an
yeah,
idea.
Exactly.
Good thing he's not a doctor. But, no, I can't touch any woman that's not my wife. However, my wife will come in and pretend to have the same symptoms that you do, madam, and I will examine her.
Why does the patient always look the same?
And then prescribe the proper medication. Come on, it's your freaking
You're such
job.
A dick.
It's your job, Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron. Freaking Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
Reviews are starting to come in. About Chris Angel's new magic show in Las Vegas.
Have you read
Luxor,
some of those?
No.
Called Believe.
They love him.
It opened this weekend, and people flew in from all over the world to be on hand for the debut of Chris Angel's new show in Vegas.
Shame
on them.
Is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
Saturday night, the crowd's reaction was, well, let me just read you some of the... some of the comments of the audience as they were leaving the show.
Okay.
An unsalvageable waste of time. Bored some of the audience members to sleep. Damon Ranger of Chicago, who flew there specifically to see Chris Angel, said everyone in the bathroom was chanting bull S at the urinals. It was absolutely awful.
Wow.
You can believe how bad it is because it's terrible.
Yeah!
A group of six women was led by a woman yelling furiously, demanding their money back.
Wait a minute, though. If this was the opening night, did you say?
Yes.
So these people had to have been fans.
These are all hardcore Chris Angel fans.
Hardcore fans.
People flew in from all over the world.
Wow.
Dude, it's a train wreck, says one fan. On a scale of 1 to 10, Believe is a 0.
Zero is not on a scale of 1 to 10, by the way.
No, it's not.
Good point.
Does anyone remember what the hotel in Las Vegas is paying
Luxor.
Mr. Angel?
Luxor.
Yeah, the Luxor.
Yeah.
What are they paying him? Wasn't it some unbelievable amount of money?
It's like
the show
it's
together.
It's in here in this story someplace. Just give me a second.
It's like $100 million or some
yeah,
huge,
something huge
$150
like
million, something like that. Well worth it.
Yeah, I cannot find it in here, sadly, but it is. It's a multi-million dollar deal.
Jeez.
There's no magic in it.
What?
Said one fan.
Well, then why isn't it just Cirque du Soleil?
Believe has no compelling storyline. It's more about dancing and unimpressive tricks like pulling doves from a sleeve. Said Alan Huertas. It's something that should be in a variety show. They have a bunch of rabbits dancing around in costumes.
No, they don't.
Yes. We were hysterical about coming. We were so looking forward to it. Steve Moffat and Jordan Wilson from London. We came. It was a waste of time. The magic's not even magic. You can see the wires and stage holes used in the unconvincing acts.
He's a douche.
It gets better. At one point in the show, Chris Angel breaks into song.
He sings?
What?
Yes.
Awesome. Jordan Wilson said he broke into song. He said, I said, he's singing? We're leaving. He got up and got out of the stadium.
Finally, Chris Angel fans get what they deserve.
This is the greatest thing ever. We can understand if there were a few kinks to work out, but this is more than about a few kinks. Apparently, two guys said they were in the cheap seats in the back, and even from there they could see the wires and holes for the illusions. The guy next to me was sound asleep, said Julie Schmidt after Saturday's show. So, as you can tell, reviews pouring in from hardcore Chris Angel fans that they're just thrilled.
Wow.
But anyway, it wasn't good.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. It wasn't good. Today's celebrity birthdays. Greg Brady of the Brady Bunch. Barry Williams is 54 years old today. Jenna Elfman from Dharma and Greg, of course, and other feature
Bell,
films.
Bell.
I think Jenna's hot.
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
37 years old today. Tony Hale from Arrested Development turns 38. Monica Bellucci.
Oh.
Passion of the Christ and Matrix Reloaded and other good films where she has boobs. What was that one recently? She played the hooker with Clive Owen. Children of Men. Oh,
yes.
Come on
yes.
with that.
Yes.
Yes. 44 years old today, and Fran Drescher turns 51. I'm sorry to ruin your erections. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You can go to KROQ.com for all the details on the new KROQ bumper sticker. There's a K, an R, an O, and what's that other one?
K?
What's that? No, I don't think it was some CK? Other one. I can't remember what it was now. Anyway, you can pick it up at any participating Del Taco location around Southern California. Fill out the back, mail it in, or enter online at KROQ.com to win a 2009 Toyota Matrix and the KROQ Golden Ticket, which is tickets to every single KROQ concert in 2009. Details at the website. And you can also find out which location in particular our friend Beer Mug will be at today with additional prizes that you can win between noon and 2.
Yeah, you'll need a new car to go to all of those shows.
Yes,
you will. Exactly. There's going to be hundreds of shows. You're going to be dead. But enjoy that. All right, let's talk about the Britney Spears sex tape.
That's what I'm talking about.
Everybody remembers when she kind of went crazy and she showed up at that tattoo shop and she got a tattoo and she shaved her head, remember?
Tacked a car with an umbrella.
Yep, she was just going out of her mind. And one of the paparazzi, Adnan Galib, apparently somehow made it in with her and they were boyfriend-girlfriend for a while.
Yep.
Britney was, let's face it, she's pretty much cleaned up her act now, and she's now able to see the kids more and stuff like that. But for a while there, she was running with a bad crowd. She was around some people who did not have her best interest at hand. Sam Lutfi was one of those guys. This guy, Adnan Galib, was another one. And they really, they had to be expunged from her life in order for her to survive. But Adnan is rearing his ugly head now because he claims there is a sex tape and that he's willing to sell it. And we need to find out more about that. And producer Alex has lined him up on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Good morning, Adnan.
Hey, bro. How you doing, bro? Mr. Kevin, Mr. Bean,
Very
how
good,
you doing,
thank
my
you.
My friend, the female there?
Yeah, Lisa.
Hi, female. How are you? Yeah?
Her name's Lisa.
You talk, that's great. Okay, how you doing, my friend?
Adnan, do you have a Britney sex tape?
No. What kind of reprehensible pig do you think I am? I would never do that to Britney. I love her, bro.
Really? But because we're hearing that you're shopping it around all over town trying to find out who will pay you the most money for it.
No. Theoretically, in a crazy mixed up world, if I did have a tape,
right,
I'd also have the official Britney Spears Adnan G keychain. You guys want one? Give you a good deal, huh?
Nice, no, picture of me. We don't want a keychain.
Guaranteed entry with any key you put this one on. You know what I'm saying, huh, bro? Huh, bro? Give you a good deal, huh?
So, do you have the sex tape or not?
No tape.
You don't have the tape.
That's crazy. That would be sick. Ugh. I would never do that to Britney. I mean, but seriously, though, bro. My friend, if there was tape, Adnan G. Britney Spears bumper sticker, huh? I got it. It said, picture me like this, like with my arms open. It says, I speared Britney, Adnan G.
That's the bumper sticker?
We're not interested in that,
my friend. That's right, my friend. No tape, though. No tape.
No sex tape.
The reports that we've heard make it sound like you and Britney on one of your trips to Mexico with that brief time that you were dating. You guys got it on down in Rosarito. You filmed it.
Speaking of Mexico, you need Bluetooth?
Well, no, I'm fine. We just want to talk about the Britney tape.
Bluetooth apparatus is very good, bro. Give you a good deal, my friend. You're my friend.
No.
We go way back.
We're not your friend.
You're crazy not to buy one. All right, just bro. Go ahead, bro.
We just want to talk to you about the Britney tape. Apparently, she's wearing at the end of the video, which is just all full on sex. She's wearing nothing but a pink wig. Does that sound familiar to you?
I mean, that happened, in our relationship, bro. But it's not something I share with everybody. That's private stuff because at the time I loved her, I would never think to share a different tape, a tape of our love making or our private stuff. But if there was a tape, seriously though, I got the official Adnan G. Britney Spears USB drive. It's good times, huh? Plug and play all day because I'm Adnan G, the Prince of Persia.
So
I got the curvy sword, you know what I'm saying? Tame this snake, bitch.
The curvy sword?
Oh, yeah. That's right, my friend, but there's no tape.
Now,
no tape.
So
no
the
tape.
Sex
no
tape would
bro.
Come
no
on the USB, what?
No tape, bro, no tape.
No tape.
No tape, my friend, no, baby.
Why are we getting reports from all over the city that you're trying to shop it, that you're trying
to... People haters, you know what I'm saying, they want there to be a tape. There's no tape, but if there was a tape, theoretically, crazy world, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Crazy world out there. I got the Adnan G. Britney Spears sex tape beer koozie. My friend, give you a good deal.
It sounds like you've made a lot of items.
It's crazy, theoretical.
Based on the fact that there's a sex tape.
Yeah, the beer koozie is good. It's got a picture of me and it says, have your beer immersed in Persian. Huh? What do you think?
We're not buying today.
Okay, no tape, though.
How much, if there were a tape in the crazy world, how much would you be trying to sell it for?
No tape, bro. No tape. If there was,
no tape.
I mean, like, theoretically, like, right. If there was a tape, like, I have the official Adnan G. Britney Spears condoms, you know what I'm saying?
You have those already made?
It says, charm this snake, bitch. I got the postage stamp, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Adnan G., Britney Spears sex tape postage stamp.
You already have
Smack
a sex
it up,
tape?
Flip it, rub it down. Oh, no! You know what I'm saying? Prince of Persia. He had that, I mean, no tape. No tape, though.
But
no
it
tape.
Sounds like
no,
you
have... If there was tape, I'd give you a good deal, though. You're crazy not to buy one.
Okay. Right, crazy not to how buy much one. Would they be? If
I don't know. You need Jose Canseco rookie card? I got one. Mint condition, bro.
No, I'm not, we're not talking
condition,
about...
Bro.
No, we're not talking
mint
about...
Mint condition. It's good, huh?
All right, I'll take it.
All right.
I know with the Dodgers and the Angels both in the playoffs this week that maybe you're not thinking basketball, particularly minor league basketball.
Yes, we're the LA Clippers. LA Clippers. LA Clippers number one.
I mean, not even professional basketball. The Los Angeles Clippers. But that doesn't stop our man Dave the King of Mexico from being in charge of the Clipper Nation. Hey, Dave, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yo, yo, what up?
So, yes, a few days ago, Dave says, hey, one of the Clippers is going to be a Jenny Craig spokesperson. And we were like, what? A professional athlete is going to do that? Well, not professional, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Baron Davis is the man.
Baron Davis is the man. He, of course, played at UCLA, and then he went and played for New Orleans for a while. He played for Golden State for a while, and now he's back with the Clippers, or he's at the Clippers for the first time. And Dave, the King of Mexico, went down to interview him.
How about that?
Now, Dave is not a guy with a lot of energy. As a matter of fact, not a lot of energy, lack of energy, black hole of energy, really, is how I would describe it. So when Dave walks into the room, all of the energy from all of the people just drain out of them and go right into Dave and disappear.
Was it kind of a thrill to be interviewing Baron Davis as a Clipper fan, though, Dave?
It was, you know. And then, you know, Kevin.
I think you can tell, too, by the excitement in
when
his
it comes,
voice.
When it comes to basketball, I step it up. I bring the energy. I bring the excitement.
That's so true.
You know, when it comes to sports, I'm fired up for it.
So listen to this. A one-on-one interview with Baron Davis with the King of Mexico.
Try to keep up.
All right.
Dave here with Baron Davis.
Oh. Ready?
All right, cool.
Okay, now, here's my question. Do you think he's waiting to turn on the energy till just now?
I think that KCRW would fire Dave for being too boring, is what I think.
Hey, it's Dave the King of Mexico, the number one Clipper fan at K-Rock, and here with Baron Davis, the new number one Clipper. Hey, Baron, how's it going?
What's happening, man? Just...
Okay, now, Baron Davis is a guy who has, if it's possible, less energy than Dave.
This is fantastic.
So I'd like to put out the word that if you're driving and you're tired, you might want to pull over to listen to this because it will put you to sleep.
All right, so let me make sure I got it out. So when you're driving, no cell phone calls, right. Handheld, no texting apparently,
right.
No dogs in your lap, no listening to this interview.
That's correct.
What's happening, man? Just chilling.
Cool, dude.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like Dave. He's down. I'm just chilling.
Hey, I'm hip. I'm with it.
Cool, dude. So then he goes on and he asks him about being the spokesperson for Jenny Craig.
So you're the new spokesperson for Jenny Craig?
Why does it sound like you're at work, and if the boss hears you, you're going to get fired?
You know what? It was weird because...
Where were you?
We were at the Beverly Wilshire.
Yeah?
And it was a press conference for Jenny Craig, and there was like a bunch of people around me
talking.
Well,
then why did you feel the need to be so quiet?
Because I wanted him... I don't know. It's like... I don't know.
It sounds like he's announcing at a golf tournament.
It does, yeah.
Yes.
Because there were people around me. I didn't want to like make a lot of noise. And well, I don't know. I figured if I talk low.
Part of doing an interview is making some noise.
Well, I figured if I talk low, he could hear me, like just me and him, rather than everyone else hearing me, too. Maybe, I don't know.
Hey, Baron. Yeah. Hey, me over here. Hey,
so listen, you're the new spokesperson for Jenny Craig. What's up with that?
As I get older in my NBA career, wanted to be more health conscious and just a team concept of having someone that you can check in with when you're going through those sluggish periods of time. And I think that's the best thing about it.
But look at you, man. You look like you were doing a pretty good job. I mean, is this going to help you out even more? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is 19 pounds later.
But look at you. Look at you. You're a physical specimen.
Boring. Hey, you look good, by the way.
By the way,
he was all dressed up in a suit, all dapper.
For the record, I edited down both Dave and Baron from about a half hour
to these
clips that you're
really?
Hearing. Yeah. It was a
boring.
It was a very, very slow interview. So they get the Jenny Craig out of the way, and now Dave wants to move on to basketball.
Cool, man. Well, let's talk Clippers for a bit. Welcome home, dude. You're a hometown player. Is there any added pressure playing in your hometown?
I think it's more motivation and inspiration coming back home where it all started. You know, this is where my dream started in this city. You know, to come back here, to come back and bring some life into the Clippers, the underdogs of L.A. is going to be great.
That was a great question.
Boring.
Great answer. Great question, great answer. Well,
yeah.
It was a great question in theory. It was not delivered so well.
Oh, it's perfect.
But coming back home and playing in front, yeah, that I mean, that makes sense. So now Dave has some prepared questions about Baron Davis because there are these legendary pickup games that go on at the park. And Dave wanted to know who he played with.
So, dude, can you tell me about some of the pickup games you used to play in Los Angeles? Like, I heard you were in Venice and tearing it up when you were in high school, you know?
More so UCLA, playing with Magic Johnson from the time that I was 15 years old.
Which, by the way, when you're that's 15 pretty cool. and you're in yeah. Los Angeles and you're playing with Magic Johnson.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And how could he possibly make it sound so boring? You know what I mean? He's playing with Magic. Does he get energetic about anything?
Well, you know, I was there playing with him, and it was cool. It wasn't a big deal, just playing with Magic.
You were playing with... Oh, you mean he's saying that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was just, like, the most phenomenal experience, because when you grow up with a hero, and then you get to, you know, play with him, you know, from Magic to Hakeem Olajuwon, and then to see Kobe come up there and do the same thing, it's just, you know, it's always been great for me.
All right, so now they take a rest to sleep, and then they wake back up. And Dave, who is not as much a Clipper fan as much as he is a Laker hater, mm-hmm. it's one of those deals where if the Lakers weren't here for him to hate, he wouldn't like the Clippers. But he just doesn't like the Lakers, and especially doesn't like Kobe Bryant. So now he's going to try and get Baron Davis to talk trash about Kobe Bryant because Baron Davis brought up Kobe, and so now Dave is going to slam him.
Did you play with Kobe in the pickup games? Did you tear him up?
Yeah. Did you tear him up?
Well, he does shut him down in the NBA, so, you know, I figured he would tear him up.
No one really shuts him down in the NBA, my friend. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, me and Kobe, like, you know, he's the pace setter. You know, he sets the pace.
Was your head about to explode? He's talking nice about Kobe.
Yeah, I know.
What are you going to do?
Come on.
And, you know, we're all trying to catch up to Kobe. And, you know, he's just a phenomenal talent. And he pushed me, and I push him.
All right, so Dave's not done. He's going to try one more time.
Okay, well, I hope you push him a little harder this year and you come out on top.
Yeah! No, he did.
That's my boy. Dude, I got back up my Clipper boy, man.
Whoa. And then Dave ends it with a little comedy.
One last question. I know there's a spot open in the forward position. You know, I played for the K-Rock Donkeys. I average about 4 points, but like 7 rebounds. Think you could give Coach a little shout-out, try to get me a tryout?
Yeah, that'd be cool, man, especially, you know, it'll be good for the diversity of our team. We could use a Mexican on our basketball team.
A fat Mexican who could maybe get on Jenny Craig.
Yeah, I'd love to have that. I'd love to have that fat Mexican on Jenny Craig.
All right, Baron, well, thanks a lot for talking to me, man.
All right, gracias.
I'd love to have that. I'd love to have that.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Well done,
Mexican
Dave.
On the Clippers. Come on.
Well done. What other professional team would somebody like Dave think he could try out for than the Clippers?
Yeah, any other pro you would have asked that question to, he would have just been humoring you. Baron's seriously going to try to hook it up. How about Simon Pegg back on the Kevin and Bean Show? How about that guy? How
fantastic.
About Run, Fat Boy, Run and Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead? But all of that has led up to him getting the opportunity to co-star in a movie with Megan Fox that opens up on Friday. Hey, Simon, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Nice to be there.
How you doing, dude?
I'm all right. I'm in New York.
Oh, fantastic. And how did you get in Megan Fox's movie?
I think you'll find that she got in my movie.
Okay. <That's it.
laughs> Simon, we have to come completely honest with you. And I know that we've met you a couple of times and you know what a fan we are. So please don't take offense to this because we do like you very much. But lately, we've become a little bit obsessed with Miss Megan Fox. And I'm sorry that in our mind, we just can't wait till the minute that she appears on the screen on Friday when we go to see this film.
I get that. I understand it. And she's in the first scene, so you won't have to wait long.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's awesome.
Here's Simon Pegg's... describe your character for people who haven't heard about it.
I'm playing a sort of slightly bumbling, idiotic British journalist who goes to work for a sort of upscale fashion celebrity magazine in New York. And Megan plays a sort of young, beautiful starlet who I try to have sex with.
Yes, and... here's the beginning where you're talking to her and you're trying to, like, say something witty.
So you're an actress. I would definitely vote for you for Best Supporting Dress.
I'm sorry, I can't really understand your accent.
Oh, that has to hurt. That has to hurt.
It was fun. She's a great girl, Megan. It's very easy to sort of evaluate her by looks alone, but there's a lot more to her than that. She's a cool kid.
Yeah, she's pretty perfect, all right. How to Lose Friends and Alienate People is the name of the movie, and that's kind of what your character does throughout the whole movie. It seems like everything he can do that will screw things up, your character manages to do. Do I have that right?
Yeah, he's an idiot. He just sort of he goes over there thinking he's going to be all sort of, you know, rebellious and incendiary, and just makes a complete idiot of himself at every turn. But it's fun, and you kind of root for him, though, you know, because he's not a bad guy. He's just a bit of a doofus, and you kind of eventually you start to hope that he. There's one point when he has to kind of make this decision whether to be a good man or to go and have sex with Megan's character, and you know. You have to go see the movie to see what he does.
Well, if you don't choose correctly in that one, I'm never going to forgive you.
That's right.
That's hands down an easy decision.
Simon, I always hated in the interviews where the interviewers ask real life questions of the celebrities that really have to do with the character in the movie. But I am fascinated by you in particular. In the last couple of years, you've become somewhat of a pretty big celebrity. You've been in so many great movies now. Is it a pain in the ass, the celebrity aspect of it, that you kind of address in the movie a little bit? I mean, is it a lot of trouble for you that you're recognized everywhere and you've got paparazzi and all that stuff now?
I think I don't think it's not always cracked up to be. I think people kind of really crave that. There seems to be a tendency now to just want to get to that point, when in actual fact that's kind of the result of something, and it's not always a completely positive experience, but I don't want to whine about it. It's, you know, I have a great job and I enjoy it, and you've just got to take the rough with the smooth, you know?
What do people say to you the most? What do they talk to you about?
Is there going to be a sequel to Shaun of the Dead?
Ah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Makes sense.
And what was it like slow dancing with Megan Fox?
Yeah, well, there is that. There is that. Here's a little bit from the trailer from the movie How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
Megan Fox.
And there you go.
That's a good bit. That was my favorite bit, actually.
That's all you need.
Hey, Simon, here's something you haven't been asked before. What was it like slow dancing with Megan Fox in the movie?
It was delightful.
Kirsten Dunst is in the film. Gillian Anderson is in the movie. I mean, terrific cast. It looks very, very funny.
It's an embarrassment of riches for me. As a sort of, you know, slightly ungainly, podgy British guy, pasty, as all you Americans often paint us, and truthfully so. To be among that sort of that crowd of extraordinarily beautiful women was a joy, I have to say.
And Jeff Bridges is in the movie. He looks fantastic.
Oh, I love him.
He's always.
Oh man, he's a legend, and he's such a generous and brilliant guy. He's exactly what you'd hope he was like. You know, he's kind of a bit like the dude, but with more focus.
Well, the movie looks very funny, and I got to tell you, this is the time of year that we suffered through much of the summer to get to, because now there are actual good movies in the theater that we're so looking forward to, and this is definitely one of them. And Kevin, I know you have one more clip from How to Lose Friends and Alienate People before we let Mr. Peck go.
Can I leave Cuba here? He doesn't like Italian food.
She's talking about her dog there. Isn't that cute? And then...
Little Cuba. Where is he now?
Aww.
She's talking about her dog. We had to work really hard to edit Simon out of all these clips, but I think it was worth it. All right, hey, listen, Simon.
I know my place.
Great to catch up with you. We always enjoy having a couple of minutes to talk to you, and we're very much looking forward to the movie. Thank you, dude.
I've got to quickly say hello to Chris Doohan, who's James Doohan, the original Scotty's son. I know he's listening to the show.
Oh, fantastic. And you're playing
Yeah, we've had Chris on before. He's a good dude and doing a great job keeping his father's legacy alive.
Absolutely. And so hi to him. And it's really nice to speak to you guys, as ever.
Thank you, man.
You bet. Bye-bye, Simon.
Take it easy.
Bye. He, of course, is playing Scotty in the next Star Trek, directed by J.J. Abrams.
Right.
Which I would be excited about if somehow Megan Fox was in the movie. But so far, I don't think she is.
Hey, that dude's Tom Morello.
He sure is.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Tom will be here just after the news at 8 o'clock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on in Hollywood?
Bad news. If you're looking to pick up a Katy Perry doll, the first run of manufacturers have sold out of the Katy Perry doll.
No kidding.
There is one?
There is a Katy Perry doll.
Why?
And it has sold out in pre-orders. You can put your name on a wait list if you'd like.
I kissed a girl.
At the doll maker's website, integritytoys.com, for $50.
$50?
You can pick up your own Katy Perry doll. I guess if you want to, you know.
Yeah.
You're a girl and you want to kiss Katy Perry. You can buy one for $50.
Sure.
Girls love sex. All right.
That's a good point.
Integrity Toys also the maker of the popular RuPaul doll.
So.
Maybe you want to pick that up instead. It's a good looking dude right there.
That'd be sweet.
Speaking of merchandise I have to own, Knight Rider GPS units are now selling. A company named Mio makes the unit, and it's a black box you put in your
car, and it's got a scrolling LED light. It goes from side to side, just like the original kit used to. And they've got the voice of the original kit, the Hasselhoff version, William Daniels, as the voice of the GPS.
After what I've been through, a little publicity might help reinforce my self-image.
That's him.
That's the dude.
That's the guy who talks to you while you're getting your directions.
So he gives you the directions, left, right, turn, go straight, whatever.
Yep.
Awesome.
That Subway sandwich shop is coming up on the left, Michael.
Does he call you Michael?
Yeah, I think he does. Oh. He calls everyone Michael.
You can get I apologize. Go ahead. You can get it where?
Best Buy.
Yeah.
All right. Radio Shack or Amazon.com. It's just $270.
What?
That's all.
Wow.
You get Kit to talk to you.
Well, right, but.
Well worth it.
No.
You're a douche.
I wonder if this will start a trend, Ralph, of being able to buy a GPS customized with the voice of your favorite celebrity.
Can you imagine Adam West telling me how to get to a place?
I mean, there are a few names out there who are popular enough that people would do it. I think.
Exit approaching in 0.5 miles.
That would be the best.
That would be the best.
You know what you can do now? It's not celebrities, but yeah, exactly. But it's you can get like different dialects and stuff. And I used to always pick Japanese or Chinese because it's so funny. And they would give you directions, and you'd try to figure out.
Language or an accent?
No, no, I mean language. The language.
Oh, a dialect would be kind of pointless. No. Make a right to now.
No.
What?
No. It would be in Japanese or in Chinese, and I'd try and figure out what the hell they were talking about.
Yeah, like you need more confusion in your life.
Well, that's true.
You need to know less about where you're doing, where you're going, what you're doing.
How dare you?
Adam West GPS.
Dude,
the GP West. The GP West.
The GP West is a huge item.
Oh, I got to leave right now. I got to stop and get on the phone and talk to Adam's agent and make a deal.
I wonder how many things you have to record for a GPS, because most of it is just the computer, you know, putting phrases together, right?
Keep left.
Awesome.
God, I want one so bad. Amy Winehouse, believe it or not, is a hot mess.
You think?
Apparently, friends and family have finally stepped in, and according to the London Sun, they have invaded her home in London, and they refuse to leave.
They're squatting?
They're squatting. They're terrified for her life, and they have gathered around her. They claim to keep her company around the clock because they believe she is a danger to herself.
Wow.
They are correct.
Can you imagine having to squat at that house? Yeah. I'd be there, and I'd see, like, the vomit clothes in the corner and the mold and stuff. And,
man.
You know, the art she's made with her own feces or whatever she's going on. And I would say, you know what? Best of luck. Hope things turn out for the better, but I got to go.
But that's because you don't know
her. Yep, with a capital C.
If it was your sister.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I like my sister, but not that much.
All right.
Not Amy Winehouse amounts.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? And Gary Glitter. You remember him.
Yes.
He was the guy who had Rock and Roll and Rock and Roll Part 2, the classic. Classic song that they play in all the sporting events. It goes, bum, ba, dum, ba, dum, ba, da, da. Hey! Yeah, that dude.
Yeah.
He likes kids.
Oh.
Yeah, he was.
What does that mean?
He served jail time in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's true.
And they threw him out of Vietnam once he got out of jail and sent him back to London, back to England.
Giddy up.
Right.
And a British court has just banned him from visiting France or Spain.
Ooh. Wow.
The court
Forever?
Says the request has been made by the police in order to protect the children in France and Spain.
Yeah. An entire country doesn't want you to go there.
This is after he was, as I mentioned, sentenced to jail time in Vietnam for committing obscene acts with two underage girls.
Mm. Yeah.
That's
the
nice.
Ban will last until March of 2009 when it will be reevaluated as to his state.
Are you a pedophile?
I'm sure he'll be better by 2009.
Sure. He'll snap right out of it.
Lean right up. Fans of The Office were thrilled to see Jim finally propose to Pam on last week's episode. Did you see that?
Did?
He's so cute.
Yeah.
In the rain there at the gas station.
That's where every woman wants to get that big question popped.
It's romantic, Bean. It was in the rain and whatnot. And they met halfway. She'll remember it forever. However, producers are saying they could be trouble in paradise. They are bringing back the actor David Denman, who played Roy, her ex-fiance, in The Office. He's coming back to work at...
he was the dude downstairs in the...
He was the warehouse dude who Pam was engaged to previously. So he'll be coming back this season.
Oh.
And that can't be good for our loved ones.
Yeah. They have to be together in real life, by the way, Pam and Jim. The actors have to be together.
However, now that she's at this school in New York,
and she's starting to flirt with that dude from Mad Men. I think,
the tubby guy, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's going to be trouble. I think there's going to be trouble. I'm concerned. I don't know what to do.
You know it's a TV show, right, Ralph?
It's not. It's okay. My life. And how about Brooke Burke on Dancing with the Stars? Have you seen this, Brad?
No, I haven't. She's on Dancing with the Stars, Ralph. What is
that? Yeah, well, force yourself to take five minutes and look at her body.
Kevin, I don't you remember when I told you why you needed to watch this show?
The lovely Brooke Burke will show off her cha-cha next.
I mean, come on.
She's got this amazing cha-cha. She's had four kids.
Yeah.
And she's got better abs than Psycho Mike.
She's got that magic celebrity bounce back body that
She looks unbelievable, but she is married to one of the most well respected plastic surgeons in the world.
She used to be.
Not anymore.
Still? Not
no.
anymore?
Now she's married to a dude from Baywatch.
Well, either way, that had to play a role, right?
David Chocki or Chokichi. Whatever. I think she's married to him.
She's married to him?
Yeah. No, what's the other dude? What's the other dude from.
David Charvet?
That's it. That's who she's married to.
You guys know we're on the air?
Hey, we're having a conversation. You mind, Kevin? Pipe down. Anyway, she does look amazing after four kids. She gained 30 pounds with each kid.
Right.
And she looks amazing. Well, now she's selling her technique to you at home.
Oh.
She said the reason she looks so great, she wraps her stomach in neoprene after every delivery.
What's that? Is that a plastic?
Neoprene is a stretchy plastic wrap. Mm-hmm. She wraps her midsection in it for 40 days after the delivery.
Okay.
And she says it keeps your core tight and lets it recover better, and also you sweat all the junk out of your belly because it makes you sweat.
A lot of fun for a husband, too.
Hmm. So that's how you get that body with a neoprene wrap that you can find on her website, and she'll sell it to you and get rich.
Mike?
Does that sound medically sound to you, Mike?
Who cares?
The part about keeping your skin tight like that, that does make sense. People after liposuction have to wear like girdles or whatever to keep their skin so that it can, I don't know, tighten back up. But you still got to do a heck of a lot of exercise stuff.
I don't think she's trying to claim that that's all you have to do, right?
All I know is she's got a new...
Just a component.
A new piece of cheap gimmicky merchandise she's trying to sell.
Right, exactly.
Anything she's selling.
That's the gist of my story.
Okay. You got a problem with that, you can go... yourself.
Whoa. Jesus. Come on. Look at her. We're looking at photos of her on our computer screens right now.
She's a good deal.
She's diabolical. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, before I get to that, let me tell you what new DVDs are in stores today, because it is Tuesday. That means new DVDs available for you to pick up. Mike will run out to the store today and buy the documentary about steroids, Bigger, Stronger, Faster.
It's good. Good movie.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, also available on DVD today.
That's good.
Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., Jeff Bridges, Clark Gregg, Terrence Howard. Great cast, great film.
That was my favorite movie of the year.
I think it may have been mine as well. I liked it even more than Dark Knight. And, of course, this is my first purchase. The complete opening ceremony of the Beijing 2008 Olympics.
Oh, my God.
Available on DVD today, so you can check that out in case you didn't get enough of it.
Well, it's a 10 DVD set.
Oh, my God. Who would ever go back and watch that again?
Mad Men. Mad Men and Lunatics.
Mad Men's
on
DVD.
Oh, stop it. Mad Men is on DVD, by the way. First season. Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch turns 54 years old today as we look at the celebrity birthdays. Fran Drescher. is 51 years old.
Is that your Adam Carolla?
Norm MacDonald. It's all the same. Yeah. It's all one
That's
voice.
Right.
Monica Bellucci.
Oh.
And I apologize to Bellucci friends everywhere when I said that she was in Children of Men. That's not the film she was in with Clive Owen. She was in Shoot 'Em Up.
Shoot 'em up, yes.
But they're both about protecting a kid.
Yeah.
True.
So it's an easy mistake to make. She's 44 years old today. Tony Hale from Arrested Development is 38. And Jenna Elfman, Kevin's good friend. They get clear together, these two.
Well, she doesn't like it when you make fun of the Scientology.
Yeah, she doesn't.
At all.
At all. She's 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hi, this is Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
No matter how hard you try.
Why the name Rage Against the Machine?
It just seemed appropriate for that thing it is that we do.
Who would it be?
Yes.
some songs there.
Yeah. Sounds like recognize.
Tom Morello.
Hello. How are you?
Welcome to the studio.
It's my pleasure to be back. What's up?
You get tired of those songs?
Oh, hell no. Those are jams.
They are jams.
I don't like it when they come up on my iPod.
You won't listen to them separately?
But if I hear them on the radio, I will crank them up.
Really?
Yeah. No kidding.
That's funny. Right now, by the way, we have interns pasting your car with John McCain bumper stickers in the parking lot, just so you know.
It's already papered, dude. They're going to have to paper over the McCain.
The McCain. I hadn't heard that before.
Nicely done.
Tom, we have so much. Every time, it's so funny. I would say you're a frequent guest on the Kevin Beach. I would say we've had you a few times a year, every year, for many years. But for some reason, there's always so much going on with you that I feel like we don't have enough time to cover. There's so much stuff, so much ground to cover. Like, since the last time we saw you, you've already practically been arrested and pepper sprayed. I mean, as usual, right?
Yeah, there's nothing new about that. Yeah. I really feel like I haven't done my job during a day's performance if there's not a tear gas attack.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is true.
Let's start with the...
I've been tear gassed at two or three of your shows, yeah. I think. So, thanks
good times.
For that.
Yeah. Let's start. Let's catch up with
that
the convention.
You've probably been to two or three shows.
Because it's all you, of them.
You decided to go play both conventions this summer. What was what was the goal of showing up?
We played a number of shows, both Night Watchman shows and Rage Against the Machine shows. At the DNC, we played the Rage show was for an organization called Iraq Veterans Against the War. And we played a show and then invited the 10,000 people at the show to join the veterans on a march to the Pepsi Center to present their demands to the Obama campaign. It was, you know, it was pretty dramatic in the end, where there was a confrontation between, you know, 60 veterans in full military uniform and 700 riot police who were barring the door.
Wow. And they didn't want to let them in.
They didn't want to let them in. Wow. And actually, five officers walked off duty rather than
the
possibility of having to arrest them or taser them. And at the end of the day, fortunately, I mean, at the last minute, they announced, you know, there's 3 minutes and we're going to tear gas and arrest everybody. And the veterans said, okay, well, then we're going to march straight into the police line. And there's going to be your cover story on USA Today. Unfortunately, someone had sense inside and came out and made everything nice and acceded to all their demands. So that was
Have you seen in recent years they're moving the protesters further and further away from that they're trying to reach?
Yeah, when Rage played the DNC here, we were
at Staples.
We could actually see the Staples Center, but in
we could see until the tear gas.
Then it got kind
of
cloudy.
And the rubber bullets, and then it was.
But at the DNC, there was a place where they encouraged the veterans and the protesters, a place called the Free Speech Zone, which was known as the Freedom Cage, which was a big parking lot with a fence around, empty parking lot with a fence around it, where you were encouraged to go and speak freely.
And how far was it?
Where no one could hear you.
You couldn't see the Pepsi Center.
Wow. But, I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. And then the RNC was, again, played both solo shows and Rage shows there, but there was the sort of the dramatic occurrence on the one day where they tried to stop us from playing.
Now, had you already been playing when you got the bullhorn out?
No. What happened was we pulled up. We were the last scheduled act on the day, and we pulled up, got out of the van, and were immediately surrounded by riot police who said, if you approach the stage to play songs, we're going to arrest you.
On what basis?
Why? For what?
Their excuse was that we were not on the permit for the day. We showed them the permit, and none of the 17 acts that we're playing today were specifically listed on the permit.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, it was pretty. I mean, imagine if something like that happened during the Beijing Olympics.
Yeah.
Where a Chinese band that was critical of the government was told they would be arrested if they sang their songs, you know, in a public space. And so, you know, they made this police phalanx stopping the band literally from going towards the stage.
Did they let other artists perform? Just not yours?
There was 4 hours of music before we got there.
Wow.
But they wouldn't let you take the stage because they thought it would be too incendiary for the crowd?
Their excuse was that we were not listed on the permit. I think that they...
Well, why, really?
The day before, there was an SEIU, Take Back Labor Day union event that was for 15,000 people, and they had a permit for a park. And then they added Rage to the show, and their permit was revoked. And then we said, you know, we don't want to ruin your event, so we got off the bill, and they got the permit back.
Really?
Yeah. So,
do you find that a lot?
I mean, clearly around the RNC, we find.
Yeah.
That.
Well.
But I mean, if that seriously, if something like that had happened during the Olympics,
yeah,
it would have been a huge human rights outrage, international outrage.
And they would have been as upset as anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the Republican National Convention, then you guys decided just to take a bullhorn.
Yeah. Well, we since we were the stage was blocked, we did an end. You know, we had a choice. this is a band that, you know, has made a fine living singing a song, F you, I won't do what you tell me.
Sure, yeah.
So we weren't exactly going to crawl back in the van and go to the hotel and go, well, we tried today, bros, you know.
So you grab the bullhorn, and this is Tom Morello now singing his guitar part. And then Zach grabs it and starts doing his part. It
yeah,
just
in the middle
seems...
of 5,000 kids out there. It was pretty crazy.
Tom, I know that
the cops were steaming.
That you were doing that?
Steaming.
I mean, you could just tell they just were like...
You know, you got up in front of that crowd and you said, I just want to point out that there are a lot of cops here who probably are fans of the band.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. I mean,
really want to do that job, but they have to.
No, it's not even that they don't want to do the job. The point was that they're, one, they're probably cops that are fans of the band. And two, I'm sure that 100% of the cops there come from working class or middle class families, like all the kids, like
right.
the guys in the band.
Right.
And unlike... pretty much anybody in the convention of
right.
the delegates to the convention. So they have my, I was trying to encourage them to tear gas the RNC rather than us.
How do you think that went?
I don't know how it went, but they didn't tear gas us. They didn't tear gas the RNC. So I guess it was a draw.
Tom, what do you think would have happened had they not pulled the permit and allowed you to play? Do you think there would have been an incident?
It would have been a rock show. I mean, the next day we also played a regular show, which was surrounded by riot police. But actually, after playing the bullhorn show, mm-hmm. then sort of spontaneously, this audience of 4,000 or 5,000 people joined. There's a thing called the Poor People's March. Joined that, which and every day ended in rioting in the streets. Which, on the one hand, I think, and sometimes the police were provocative. Sometimes there were people in the crowd who were provocative. But I can't blame people after the last 8 years for rioting in the streets. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. Frankly,
I'm disappointed it doesn't.
Yeah,
happen
exactly,
more often.
Exactly.
Honestly,
it does seem like it's difficult to mount a peaceful protest anymore, though. It seems like there's always an a-hole who somehow is going to turn it into something that is not intended if you get a crowd of that size together that are inflamed with passion.
Yeah, well, I mean, and often the a-hole has a badge. They've got this full-on Darth Vader gear on, and they've had this training for this day, and here are these protesters sometimes maybe using their free speech rights, but taunting.
Right.
It's like, well, I'm here, and I've got this taser, and I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
Unless it was the veterans, of course, which is pretty exciting. There was one moment where it was before, like, the full, assault of riot police, came, and it was, like, these 11 cops, and they were in a line blocking the stage.
Right.
And we had, like, our four security guys, and they're some big-ass dudes, and we had Timmy C. And I was thinking, I think we can take them. Like, I really think we might be able to.
I love that your mind works that way.
We might be able to take all 11 of them and then play the show. Hog tie them and then play the show.
Tom, do you ever put yourself in their shoes and wonder how you'd handle it if you were on the other side of that line?
If you were
the police officer, what would you do?
Absolutely. That's what I said on the bullhorn there. I absolutely look in their shoes. Like, they have so little in common with the delegates and so much in common with those kids. They're people with rage in their iPods and people who maybe are economically hurt by what's going on right now and people who maybe disagree, with this lingering war. And yet they're put out there, in this position because of their job and because of circumstance where they're going to be forced by the end of the day to tear gas the kids, tear gassing the wrong group.
Let me ask one more question on this topic before we take a break. Our guest is Tom Morello in studio. We'll get to The Fabled City, the new release from the Night Watchman here in just a minute. But let me ask you this before we go to break, Tom.
Yes, sir.
And this isn't as a result of the last 8 years. This is something that's been going on in American politics for decades. How did the guys in the convention, the guys in the suits, the guys in Washington, end up being so far away from their constituents back home that they represent? How did that divide happen?
Well, I mean, I'm not certain how it happened, but it's certainly been going on for a long time. And I think that, one of the reasons why in recent elections you've seen, sometimes as many as 50% of the eligible voters stay home is because they don't feel represented by either party,
right.
And that there's this kind of marginalization and a really narrow funnel, like you have to pass through a lot of locks in the dam in order to mm-hmm. rise that high. And those locks are often controlled by big money. And
right.
so that's why.
And they end up extreme on both sides. And most people aren't that extreme either way.
Yeah. I just feel like we're getting to the point where people are going to want to just vote every elected official out and start over with people with no experience. I don't think we can do any worse than we're doing.
We have the parameters of ideas that are allowed to be discussed between the Democrats and Republicans are really super narrow compared to almost every other Western country. You know, like you can, you know, in Germany, England, France, you can vote for a party that kind of lines up with what you think. Here, it's always a compromise.
Right.
Often for people, a huge compromise that mm-hmm. you just kind of take. It's always right. not the lesser of two evils, but the evil of two lessers for the most part. We can talk more about that
wow.
later.
All right. We'll take a break. Tom Morello is here. The Fabled City is the name of his new CD that is out today. You can go to nightwatchmanmusic.com for more information, and we will...
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
You're so pink.
Well, love it. Is that new?
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
That's my show right there.
Yep. Hey, a perfect segue.
Tom Morello is here. He is the Night Watchman, don't you know? The Fabled City is the new record coming out today. Tom, you are getting phenomenal reviews this time around for the new Night Watchman record. I'm sure you're aware of that,
well,
right?
I enjoy doing it. It's this record, which was also produced by Brendan O'Brien, is a more fleshed out affair. Kind of, I felt more comfortable on this record, kind of combining my rock world with the singer songwriter stuff. And there's some riffs and guitar solos. And
yeah, it's
whatnot.
Not quite as acoustic this
yeah,
time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and really the tour, which starts November 1st in San Francisco, is going to be half acoustic and half electric. So
oh, that's cool.
That's going to be really fun. So it's
do you know when that comes through Southern California?
I think it's going to end right around Thanksgiving.
Okay,
right around Thanksgiving. I think at the
what are the range of topics that the Night Watchman covers in his lyrics?
Well, there are a few. First of all, there's some spectacular guest appearances. Our good friend Serge Tankian sings on one song, and Shooter Outlaw Country Rocker Shooter Jennings sings on another one. But the Fabled City, the title track, is it's about the idea that there are millions, maybe billions of people on this planet that are unable to become the people they were meant to be, that they were born to be, due to poverty. And that you can't have the boutiques on Rodeo Drive without the sweatshops in Indonesia. And we kind of live in this bubble of privilege where you
right.
don't often see that, but sometimes I sing about it.
I got the opportunity to go to Africa a couple of Christmases ago. I've been wanting to go my whole life. And
Where'd you go?
I went to Kenya and to Tanzania.
Yeah.
And in Kenya, there were guys out there, and they were working their asses off, construction workers.
Yeah.
And I was asking our guide, you know, how much do they get paid? And he said about $2 a week.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, they work 12 hours a day? He said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couple bucks.
That's what much of the world
I
is
know,
like.
But
you don't. You're not exposed to it, and it's not. You know, it's not the hills, so it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't sell like advertising. You know? But I mean, it's they're all the same, and so.
Well, you put Whitney and Audrina in one of those sweatshops, and I'll look at that too. But
that might be a nice new version of the simple life, where you send Megan Fox to the
hey, yeah. easy with Megan Fox.
Don't ever let her leave America; she might not come back. But Tom, of course, you point out that problem, and you're shining a spotlight on it, but.
Yeah.
It seems like that one there is no real solution to that's ever going to happen because we can't force other countries to do stuff the way we want them to do.
Well, I mean, there's certainly been great improvements in our own country, not due to happenstance, you know, and not due to evolution. It's because people fight for it, you know, and whether it's not having, you know, kids work in coal mines, which they used to have
right.
to, or, you know,
right.
the, some of the most more egregious, you know, labor practices. That's because people fought to change it or, you know, desegregating lunch counters, stuff which is inhuman. That stuff can be overcome by people organizing. You know?
I agree in the United States, but I don't know what we do to Thailand and what we do to Indonesia and other places where they can make different choices.
Well, though. I mean, there's the multinational corporations that are based in the United States own the sweatshops in those countries. You know, like the fab. I mean, check the lapel. You know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Like those are U.S. based corporations that are. Sometimes paying the $2 a week and moving jobs from here to those places where there are lower environmental standards and where they can pay people, you know, kind of sub-poverty wages so that they can make a bigger profit. That's how it works.
As a guy who is so knowledgeable about this and is out there talking about it all the time, is it frustrating that people pay so little attention? I mean, in general, it looks like... You know, I love Rage Against the Machine. I didn't know what most of those songs were about for most of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know that it's. I don't know that it's. I mean, it's another link in the chain. You know, like it's like I didn't choose to be a guitar player. That kind of chose me. You know, and then I think it's my job, my responsibility to weave my convictions into the thing that I do. And there's, you know, there's people in the Carpenters Union who do that. There's some disc jockeys who do that in there. And I think it's just wherever you stand, you have to, you know, stand up for what you believe in. Yeah.
There's got to be a lot of crossover between the Night Watchmen and the Rage fans, right?
Yeah,
a lot of
absolutely.
A lot of people in the booth. Do you have people who are just Night Watchmen fans who hate the Rage?
That's normally people their first exposure to it is because they're, you know, sort of familiar with my rock work.
Right.
But that's changing somewhat in that there's, you know, I played a show with Bruce Springsteen a while back, and it's, a lot of those people didn't even know one Rage Against the Machine song. And in playing these shows now, and these songs are kind of on other radio stations where,
right.
you know, so that is changing now, but they're all welcome.
It's so funny, by the way. We talked to you,
no
Tom.
Exclusivity.
Right. We talked to you the day after.
It's available for illegal download right now everywhere.
Yes. We talked to you, I think, the day after that Springsteen show. What was it? It was at the Honda Center or something?
Down in Anaheim, whatever that's
Anaheim,
called.
Right.
The Dunkin' Donuts.
Right, whatever it's called now. And you came out and played and sang on Bruce's song, Goes to Tom Joe, which has got to have been an influence on the Night Watchmen for real. You came out and did that, and you were still high when we talked to you the next day on the experience, on the excitement
exciting.
Of playing with the boss like that.
Pretty exciting.
And who knew at that time he was going to end up liking it so much that he'd end up releasing it and making it available for sale. I mean, you can actually buy that performance now on iTunes, which has got to be amazing for you.
I'm a big Springsteen fan. I can't even – it's one of those, like, Make-A-Wish Foundation things, you know?
Can't get your head around it?
Like, and I you know, I don't get nervous in too much – performance, you know, for a long, but I was scared to death for that one.
That you might screw it up somehow.
Just
you mean?
Like, you know, once in my life, I was asked to play on stage with Bruce Springsteen, and I better know the notes.
Yeah, if you don't blow that opportunity.
But I didn't like one at the sound check. You know, there was, you know, Bruce was like, Tommy, I want you to, you know, on the solo section.
No, you got to do the voice. I want to hear the voice.
I don't do it so well. But he said, Tommy, you know, at the solo section at the end, you know, you just play for as long as you want. So like during sound check, I kept a lot. In reserve.
Ah.
I thought, I'm not going to show my hand to little Steven and like beforehand. I kind of left it all on the field.
You think you can join him for the Super Bowl? Would you mind doing that?
I haven't been asked.
All right. The Fabled City is the name of it. It's Night Watchmen. That is Tom Morello, and you can go to nightwatchmanmusic.com or RATM.com if you want some Rage information. Tom, stick around for one more.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic.
I will be happy.
Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and Night Watchmen is here. He's got a new Night Watchmen CD that comes out today called The Fabled City.
Yes, sir.
Let's be honest. The reason he's here is because his bravado performance in Iron Man is available on DVD today, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
See Tom Morello in Iron Man today.
I am one of the best-looking terrorists ever to grace the screen.
For three seconds?
I'm the first guy that Iron Man killed, so it was an important role. Though you actually don't see me die, so I hope to be back in the sequel.
In the next
one?
Oh, there you go. Like, you It's just a flesh wound, and then you're able to come back. They are making an Iron Man 2 and an Iron Man 3, they've already announced.
I don't doubt that.
I had
plenty of room for you.
One more Rage Against the Machine, two more, actually, from Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Yep.
You had to stop the show three times.
That's
how often does that happen?
Very rarely.
Zach actually has to say, people, you're going to have to take a step back.
Very rarely. Really, the only times, you know, in memory, with Lollapalooza and then maybe one other show this summer. You know, crowds were kind of rambunctious this summer, but particularly at Lollapalooza. It was a long, hot day, and you just want to make sure that, you know, nobody gets hurt. And I think that, and nobody was. And incredibly, with that crowd of 85,000, I mean, it was 90,000 that day, and they were losing their minds, and yet some kids came out looking like boneless fish, but I think that everybody survived the day.
And the other question was, you don't look bored, but it's not difficult for you. And you're looking around sometimes.
Yeah.
I noticed you're
looking at people on the side. I like to make sure that we're rocking Trent Reznor over there.
Right, you know?
And my mom's okay over there on the side.
What is it? I guess you've played it so many times that it's not difficult. It can't be simple.
It's just muscle memory?
There's a lot of muscle. Yeah, it's we know how to play those songs, you know?
Right.
And the shows are super exciting. I mean, the energy is really unbelievable in that room. But especially at a show like that, which for me, Chicago's a hometown show, I always have to check and make sure. There's really the stuff I'm more nervous and worried about is, you know,
Mom.
Is this, you know, ex-girlfriend standing next to this, you know, and make sure Mom's got a seat there.
Keep everybody apart.
And make sure that the Chicago Cubs are able to see, you know, so that I get playoff tickets.
Speaking of which, let's talk about the Cubs.
Yeah.
Tom is such a fan, by the way. If you go to Wikipedia, his photo that they use on the Camarillo article is him wearing a Cubs cap.
Yeah.
And this weekend, I mean, this is a tough time for you, I guess, because it's you're a Cubs fan and they're playing the freaking Dodgers.
It's not a tough time because they're playing the Dodgers. It's a tough time because, you know, the playoffs, it's a time of nothing but nerves and anxiety for we Cubs fans. Yeah. Until we get back to five outs in the NLCS, I'm not going to be able to even be excited.
The playoffs have not been good to the Cubs.
No, they've not. I mean, the last, as you, I'm sure you know,
they're not giving.
It's literally the 100-year anniversary since the last time the Cubs won the World Series. And while, you know, fans of other teams may be able to reflect on their glory days by watching their DVD of their team winning,
sure,
there was not even radio at the time the Cubs won. So you have to like go to like cave paintings of the events.
Wow. It is amazing when you think about that. Dodger fans feel like they've been living in a desert because it's been 20 years since they won the World Series.
Boo hoo.
Yeah, the Cubs. 20 years is people. Nothing.
Yeah. So what? So roll over, please.
You know, like, somebody, please.
Yeah.
Have you heard the Eddie Vedder song?
I haven't. I've heard about it, though.
I'll play you a little bit of this, and then you have to tell us about the song you wrote.
Sure.
We are one with the Cubs. With the Cubs, we're in love. Yeah, hold our head high as the underdogs. We are not fair weather, but foul weather fans. Like brothers in arms in the streets and the stands. There's magic in the alley in the old scoreboard. The same when I stared at as a kid keeping score. In a world full of greed, I could never want more. And someday we'll go all the way.
That honestly, like, gave me chills.
But
I'm going to shed a tear. That's a fantastic song.
Do you think that...
Will the Night Watchman be covering that on his upcoming concert?
You guys don't care.
We don't.
No, but I was ready to sing along the next time that chorus dropped. I'll tell you that right now.
Do you not get frustrated with... I don't know much about the Cubs, but I would think if they haven't won the World Series in 100 years... Maybe the ownership needs to change things up. Does that not get frustrating?
Well, I mean, for many of those 100 years, it was wholly the fault of ownership and a curse. The company, like they would make so much money from the full stands every day. It didn't matter what sort of team they put on the field.
Oh,
there actually clearly has been, over the course of the last, you know, almost 10 years, expenditure laid out to try to succeed. And so we've been encouraged by that. But the curse still remains. So
you don't believe in the curse, really, though.
I was at the Bartman game, and I didn't believe in it before that supernatural event occurred in my presence. And
Tom made a reference to a moment ago about the five outs in the NLCS. This is the fan who interrupted play, remember?
Yeah.
And it just derailed them.
If you TiVo'd the game, I was at the game. I'm a sign maker, so I have signs.
No, you're not.
Check the TiVo.
You make signs.
Oh, hell yeah.
What do they say?
Hell yeah. The sign.
But being coach?
The sign that they showed to... pitches before the Bartman pitch, which I have on my TiVo just in case I want to feel worse.
Right.
Country's in the dumper, it can get worse. They can show your
face.
What
did your sign say?
At that particular game, it said, we can do it with a Cubs C for the can.
Did you add a T to it then afterwards?
No, for the I was at game 7-2, and that one said, we shall overcome.
Oh, look how you do that.
Yeah, see?
Oh, come on.
Both those things proved to not be prophetic.
Did you buy those signs or did you get markers at home?
I made markers
in mom's kitchen. Is that right?
Yeah.
Filled it in, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Tom, have you been...
See, you guys don't really deserve to move on to the next little round of the playoffs. Like, we need this.
You do.
Well,
I understand
you do need
that.
That's true.
We need this.
I can't believe I totally forgot. I had a really good question about that. It's been a long time since we've had one of these happen, but I totally forgot. Oh, this season. Now, the Cubs have been essentially, God bless Lou Piniella, by the way, who's one of my all-time favorite people in Major League Baseball, but they've been in first place almost the entirety of the season. How long have you been bracing yourself this season for the collapse? Are you, in fact, even shocked that you made the playoffs?
I'm still bracing. Like, I'm not shocked that we made the playoffs, though. That, you know, the higher you climb, the farther you fall. You know, so
right, sure.
So really, until, like, I was in the room and I tasted it in 2003, and it tasted good. So, so, you know, but we'll see. It's still the Cubs, but I hope it happens during my lifetime. My dear aunt, there's actually a song on the Night Watchman record called Saint Isabel, which is about my dear departed Aunt Isabel. She's the one that got me into the Cubs. And, like, she lived 82 years and never saw it.
Wow!
So,
oh.
And so I,
And
know.
Yet she got you into it.
Oh, yeah.
What
oh,
about
yeah.
it made her go, never won? Let's get him into it.
It's something, you know, I don't know, but I was, my first Wrigley game was at, in, I was 4 years old, and it kind of gets in the DNA as Eddie's very moving tribute, which I'm about to download as soon as I get home.
But it must be so gratifying for you to see the White Sox went through a very similar thing. The Red Sox went through an even more similar thing, and to see that it actually does happen, though. You know what I mean?
Gratifying would not be
no,
the word.
I'm saying, no, I'm just saying the fact that these 70, 80, 100-year curses makes, do eventually end.
Okay, it's not particularly gratifying to have the knowledge that we are uniquely cursed.
Yeah. Other teams that have been cursed have gotten past
That's
it.
That's correct.
Now including the White Sox.
There's one curse standing.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, hope springs eternal.
Certainly. Well, if they weren't playing the Dodgers, we could be right there with you yeah. rooting for them this weekend.
I understand.
Sorry to say,
I understand.
But, Tom Morello is always a lot of fun. There's always so much going on in your world. And this new Night Watchman album, I haven't had a chance to hear it yet, but I'm the reviews have been tremendous on it. I mean, you really are getting big ups. I think Entertainment Weekly gave it an A- this week. Yeah. I mean, everybody's saying it's great work. And
well, thank
I, congratulations
you
on
thanks,
it. It's called
thanks.
The Fabled City, and we'll be announcing dates as soon as we have them for
thank
Southern California.
Much.
You said your tour starts where? San Francisco?
It starts November 1st, San Francisco, yeah. And there's a Craig. Actually, we're recording Craig Ferguson today. I'm not certain when it's broadcast, but Flea's going to rock with me on that. So that should be very fun.
Oh, cool.
That should be very fun.
And, of course, Iron Man out on DVD today. You want to check that out? And, Tom, next time you're busted, man, do like you do and give us that call from jail. We appreciate hearing from you.
I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me.
Here you can afford to treat yourself to a little VIP treatment. Laughlin, Nevada. It's like you own the place. Log on to visitlaughlin.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Do you want to own the place?
I would rent it, maybe.
Yeah. I more dream about banana cream. What do I know?
8:53, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
You guys talking about the Tom Morello starring film Iron Man being out on DVD today. Thought it was interesting to find out that Paramount Pictures has just signed the deal with Marvel Studios to distribute the next 5 giant comic book movies coming out of Marvel.
Wow.
They, of course, were on board for Iron Man 2 and 3, which, as being mentioned, are already in the works. But they've just inked the deal with Marvel to be the distributor for Captain America and the Avengers and Thor.
Yeah.
Oh,
so all
that's like
that
Mike's
stuff,
character.
All that stuff coming from Marvel via Paramount Pictures.
I don't know anything
Pictures.
About most of those.
Well, Captain America, you know, right?
Sort of, yeah.
Red, white, and blue dude, carries a big shield.
He's big time.
Okay. Fights for his right to party.
Okay.
And the Avengers are like all, it's like the Justice League, but with Marvel comic book superheroes. So it's like Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Ant-Man.
What's Thor? He sounds funny.
Thor is a Norse god that carries a giant hammer that has huge power in it that's been given to him by his father, Odin.
So he hits stuff with a hammer?
He can do a lot of stuff with it. He can throw it at you. He can crash things. He can magic stuff.
He creates magic stuff.
He's got
does
long
he?
Blonde hair. He's got a big helmet with wings on the side. You can't miss him. Big guy.
Okay. Arguably the most swole comic book character of all.
Well,
he doesn't be the Hulk.
Yeah,
he's
got, he does because the Hulk's not always the Hulk. Thor's always swole.
No, he isn't. He's all. Sometimes he's Don Blake. Doctor Tom.
But he's
Don
still
Blake.
Swole with the blonde hair. When he's the doctor.
When he turns into Thor, he swells out. He's like Bruce Banner. He's a mild-mannered doctor who carries
weak.
A cane. He's got like a bad leg.
He's weak.
And the cane turns into the hammer when he becomes the Thor.
And he's weak.
I'm going to say Ben Grimm is pretty swole, too, while
we're
at it full time.
Ben Grimm, what about the thing, man?
The thing's up there.
He's rock all the time.
Yeah,
you can't get more swole than rock.
Good call. Good call.
He's giant
good call.
And he's made of rock.
There is that.
That's not enough for Mike.
No.
He's not hard enough. He needs to tone up a little bit. He needs to tone up that rock.
I'm starting to see a lot of commercials on the TV for upcoming movies. Now, The Punisher, is that a comic book
It is. That's
adaptation
another,
as well?
Another Marvel comic book hero. They've already made three Punishers, yeah.
Right, right. There's another one
first
of those
one
coming
was
out.
Dolph
and also,
Lundgren. And then the next two had been Thomas Jane as the Punisher.
And then Max Payne is coming out soon, too. And that's is that another comic
video
book,
game.
Too?
That's a video game.
Video game, okay.
Yeah.
Hard to keep them all straight.
Is that Mark Wahlberg?
It is. Mark Wahlberg is Max Payne.
Max Payne.
It's a great name.
Oh.
Is that it?
Is there anything following
no,
that?
Just, I don't know. I was going to do the story, then I don't know. It's kind of sad.
Okay.
Suri Cruz apparently is very lonely because dad is so picky about who he lets his daughter play with.
Yeah.
According to Star Magazine, she has no real friends, and they often see her just talking to her dolls and stuffed animals.
Oh, no.
It kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
Wow.
Poor little rich girl right there. She's got everything, but her only friends are dolls and stuffed animals.
And aliens.
And the aliens, of course. They always pay a visit.
They can be counted
on. Stop by and just float her out of the room for a little probing and put her back. And apparently Katie Holmes is upset at husband Tom Cruise. Not just for making...
Stupid-ass bitch.
Not just for making their daughter a bit of a head case, but apparently he stole her limelight the other night on opening night of her Broadway show, All My Sons.
Right.
Apparently Tom strolled into the theater about 10 minutes before showtime, and the audience went crazy, snapping photos and clapping. And he posed for pictures and signed autographs for the audience there to see Katie's debut on Broadway.
Hmm.
And apparently she feels like it stole her thunder a little bit.
Well, you'd think he'd sneak in.
You'd think. When the show has already started, stand in the back or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to be Tom Cruise all the time, do you?
Hmm.
I don't know if it has anything to do with the Scientology, but he does seem to be one of those stars who has almost a need to interact with the fans every day and sign autographs and get pictures taken and all that stuff.
I've seen him go out of his way, cross the street at premieres and stuff to make sure that everyone gets a picture and an autograph.
Yeah.
Which I think is refreshing, and how can you say a bad thing about that? But he does seem to crave it almost as much as the fans do. He likes that interaction. But it's bad on those people who don't want anything to do with the fans and, you know, ignore
them. Yeah, he's cool about it.
So,
but I can see how she would be upset if he showed up at her.
Maybe a little time, more time with the daughter. Less time with the fans. Talking to animals. Mr. Bear, you're my only friend.
Oh.
See, I told you it was sad. No one believed me.
It is sad.
You know what else is sad? Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
He is in this new movie, Fireproof, which we didn't know.
It's a mistake.
We didn't know anything about it until we saw it was number 4 at the box office this weekend, because the Holy Rollers came out in force to support Fireproof. Someone sent me the email from a friend that's been going around to people trying to get them to go see Fireproof.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. My husband and I just checked out this great new movie, Fireproof. It supports the kind of values that we believe in.
Ah.
You should check it out, too. Signed, a friend. That's sort of one of their publicity campaigns. Anyway, Kirk Cameron plays a fireman, a heroic fireman in the film, who has a troubled relationship with his wife, but through the word of the good book, finds a way to solve all their problems. Here's the thing. An actress, of course, as you can assume, plays his wife in the film.
Right.
They need to kiss because they are husband and wife in the movie. That's when the problem reared its ugly head. Kirk Cameron will not kiss any woman who's not his wife.
Even in an acting role.
Right.
Okay.
I have a commitment not to kiss any other women.
Did he put his hand up in front of her mouth and kiss his hand?
I think that's no contact whatsoever. Mm. So what they did was they took his real-life wife, actress Chelsea Noble, put a wig on her and put her in the clothing from the movie's female lead, and then shot the scene from behind and in silhouette, so you wouldn't be able to tell it's not the right actress.
That sounds unnecessary.
So that's how they got around that whole thing. So when I'm kissing my wife on screen, we're actually husband and wife honoring marriage behind the scenes, he said.
Hmm.
How is it that most actors are able to have a love scene in a movie or television project and understand that it's just acting, it's their job, and it doesn't have anything to do with their commitment to their partner at home?
That's because they're not filled with the fire.
Screw him.
They've been touched by the Holy Spirit the way
Jesus, I give you the praise for this.
Because they don't know that the banana is the perfect food because God designed it to be held by the human hand.
That, by the way, is on the internet. You have to look that up. That proves God exists.
That's right. Because the banana. No answer yet on my question. Well, how do you explain the pineapple? But that's all me.
Why I love Jesus, y'all.
Put your eye out eating a pineapple.
You can.
Where was God then when they designed that day? Was he taking the day off?
Is that a bad design?
Came back. Wait, who made these? Now I got a warehouse full of these. What am I supposed to do with them? All right, just put them on Earth. It's hard to get good help.
Started on the platypus either, by the way.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jenna Elfman from Dharma and Greg turns 37 years old today. Tony Hale from Arrested Development and other projects is 38. Monica Bellucci from The Passion of the Christ, The Matrix Reloaded, Shoot 'Em Up, My Deepest, Darkest Fantasies. She's 44 years old today. Fran Drescher turns 51.
Hey!
And Barry Williams, Greg Brady of The Legendary Brady Bunch turns 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hit it!
Yeah. Hey, congratulations to K-Rock's Kevin, by the way, who somehow became in charge of the Kevin Amin Show intern program and really only hires for comedy. And I want to say I applaud that, Kevin. I think it has worked out well for us.
It has, I'd like to say. I mean, some of them are more annoying than others, but comedy is good.
Here's what happens is, 10 interns per semester, potential interns per semester will come in, and Kevin will take the ones who are smart and qualified and throw them right the hell out. And then
how
dare you. Then he'll look for the potheads and weirdos and say, welcome aboard. Am I right?
Well, you're right, all except for Tiny Dancer, who is very smart, and I did not kick her out because she's too competent.
Okay. So she's a weirdo and she's competent, yes, at the same time then. Oh, hey, Tiny Dancer, welcome to the show. How are you, my dear?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
First of all, and second of all, what college are you going to?
I am currently at Cal State Long Beach.
Okay, and why go Beach? And why did you want to be an intern on the Kevin Amin Show?
Because it's Kevin Amin. How much fun is that? Right?
Not well, much. You tell us.
Yeah. I'm here to tell you. Not
You've done
much.
It for 2 days now.
Well, I most mean, aside from ever? All the coffee making and the copying, yeah.
We warned you about
friends
that.
With the fax machine.
We warned you about that. We told you it was crap, right?
Yeah, it's pretty low level entry position. That's for sure. We apologize, but you got to start somewhere, right?
It's pretty easy. I'm not going
to
lie.
Now, what was it in the interview, Kevin, that persuaded you to make the offer to Tiny Dancer?
Something about a pharmacy. I don't remember. Something about a
pharmacy.
Pharmacy. Really? What was it? Oh, legal weed shop.
Huh? Yeah.
She finally, runs. A new source at K-Rock now that Jed's gone.
She doesn't work at, she runs.
Really?
Right?
Yeah, I'd call it a management position, but yeah, sure. Something along those lines.
Things are pretty loose at that place, to tell you the truth.
Not a lot of titles.
No hard and fast rules.
They don't open up at the same time. Yeah, they don't exactly. close at the same time.
Now, Tiny Dancer, this is fascinating to us, because now we know you and we're going to persuade you to, we're going to bribe you to write prescriptions for us, but B, it seems like every day that you show up to work at your legal weed house, that you're in danger of the feds coming and closing the whole thing down because of the discrepancy in the laws between the state and the federal.
Yeah, that was our whole interaction when she came in for her
interview
was basically asking that. How do you stay open when they're closing so many places?
And by the way, it was probably the best interview I've ever been on, or the coolest and funnest.
It was?
I mean, coming in and talking about the weed pharmacy the pharmacy.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to say that. But anyway, so how is it? How do you stay out of their sights?
Well, there's basically regulations that are set within LA County, because right now LA County is, as far as I know, the only county that's allowed to give the or open dispensaries.
Why are they? Still, I mean, isn't the federal government basically saying to every one of these places, we're going to close you down, even though the people voted and everything else?
Right. It's definitely illegal in the federal
right.
sense. But in the state of California, it's legal. And as long they've set out these regulations, and as long as you're falling within these regulations, carrying the correct permits.
The federal government has set these regulations?
I'm not sure if it's the federal, but I know it's the state.
Well, the reason I ask is because they're closing places in California. It's not like all of them are able to.
Well, they haven't closed them all yet, apparently.
No.
There are some that are definitely being shut down for different reasons, being, they're doing illegal practices, selling it out the back door to people who don't have prescriptions,
right.
the proper documentation.
Now, Bean mentioned that you could write us a prescription. You can't do that.
No, I cannot do that, unfortunately. Sorry, guys.
Do you guys grow there, too, or do you just receive it already ready to go for customers?
Right. We receive different strains from different vendors across California, NorCal.
What's the best?
Mostly from NorCal.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, really?
They have lots of fields, lots of area to grow.
Is it all homegrown stuff? I mean, you don't carry any of the BC bud or anything like that?
Not too much.
It's all California
Thai stick,
but
no?
We definitely carry a lot of great quality.
Okay. Now,
which does you no good.
Explain to Bean, because I think his head will explode, how you were recruited for this job.
Literally fell on my lap.
Oh! Well, tell me more.
I used to be a dancer, former dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And
like ballroom, you mean?
Yes. Like ballroom. Like ballroom where they give lap dances.
Exactly.
Oh,
okay. Go ahead.
But yeah, I was definitely an exotic dancer. Not going to lie. Proud of it.
And this dude says.
Made lots of money. But anyways, one night, some guy kind of comes in, a normal night, and he gets a VIP dance with me. And so we're in the back room just talking, dancing like normal. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he is just like, you know, you're beautiful. You're really cool. I own this pharmacy. Will you come work for me? You know, I'm looking for girls like you. I need more people to come and help me out.
And I hope your reaction was, oh, sure.
Actually, my roommate was dancing in the booth right next to me. And I said, only if you can hire me and my roommate. And he was like, for sure.
Well,
like,
okay.
Cool, so deal. He just recruits strippers?
Hold on a second. I thought the pot was the draw of the pharmacy. Why do you have to hire hot chicks to work there?
That's what keeps the customers coming back.
I'd say both do.
You don't think they're coming for the wee tiny dancer?
Not really. I think the hot chicks.
Okay, but here's what I don't understand. And man, you're
that
right, Kevin.
That guy's better hirer than I am, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. You should be hiring interns at the strip club, Kevin. Here's what I don't understand. It sounds to me, in the way you're telling the story here, that you enjoyed stripping and that you made a lot of money.
Yeah, she just said that.
Yeah, that's what
so
I'm saying.
So much enjoy it as much as
she said. Proud of it.
Made a lot
not
of money.
Ashamed.
Proud
of it.
Okay. Exactly.
Same
for you.
Why did you leave it for essentially a desk job?
Well, it's not necessarily something you want to, you know, shout at the top of the world. And whenever, you know, you're asked in class, you know, to stand up and introduce yourself, it's not really something you want to say. But working at a weed pharmacy is definitely something that I don't mind standing up and saying.
So, I work at a weed pharmacy.
Now, I usually just say pharmacy, and then they kind of go in, oh, do you need to take any kind of, like, special certificates for that or any classes? And it's kind of
not
generally like,
kind.
Well, I've had a lot of practice.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, and kind of falls into the whole conversation. Mm-hmm.
How did you get into stripping? Daddy issues? Not to be Dr. Drew, but at some point you were touched. I mean, let's be honest.
I guess. Not money issues, I mean, is what it all comes down to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's no better way for an 18-year-old girl to make money.
Exactly.
Right?
And especially if you're hot.
And that's the point we would like everyone to hear. Right? If you take something away from today's Kevin and Bean Show, it's that.
That's it.
Ladies, don't waste time with college.
That's right.
You can make a lot of money. No skills that you'll need for later in life in college. Don't even worry about that. So you enjoyed it, though. You had you didn't enjoy it or you did enjoy it doing the stripping?
I didn't enjoy it. I mean, it wasn't something like...
She enjoyed the money.
Right.
But not...
At the end of the night, it's definitely something puts a smile on your face, kind of look down at... At the bills.
At the cash.
But
do you feel a little trapped even because you're making such good money and there's nowhere else you're going to make that kind of cash?
That's what happened to me as a male stripper.
The white sparrow.
Yeah. White swallow, not the white sparrow. It's not nearly as funny. So I know what you're talking about. But
yeah, that definitely is something that you are kind of, you feel stuck. But once you kind of expand and kind of grow and learn and meet different people, you'll find your outlet or what you need to do to kind of get out of that.
Now this is the second day you've worked here?
This is day two.
Yeah,
yes.
I haven't seen any
is it okay
you
so
know,
far?
What?
Product.
I haven't seen what?
You haven't seen any stripping?
What?
No, product.
Oh, product, sorry.
The hell?
That's what I was talking about too, by the way.
No, I'm saying you work at a weed pharmacy. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't carry it like in my back pocket all the time.
Of course not. But you put
in laws.
Put in a package. You stick it up your ass. I don't know what you do, but
you can get naked anytime Kevin. You want, though. You can get naked anytime you want. And I haven't had one lap dance yet.
Hey, Tiny Dancer, we're almost out of time. This is fascinating, but did your impression of or your understanding of men change at all from the time you went into the exotic dancing world to the time you got out?
Well, my impression of men has kind of always been the same.
Ever since you were touched?
Okay.
That's just a joke. I hope that's not true.
As far as men being assholes most of the time, that definitely was more confirmed I was a dancer.
Right. How did you deal with the what might have been nice guys who really wanted to actually have a regular date or relationship with you? Did you have a no dating the customer policy at all?
Exactly. You definitely had to just kind of tell those people, like, look, you know, it happens all the time. I'm sorry to break your little heart, but, you know, move on.
Work is work.
See you next week.
Did you have any trouble with guys outside of work that you were dating that had problems with you being a stripper?
I actually have not been dating anybody since I've been dancing. Been single this whole time. So, no problems.
Are you kidding me? Hasn't it been like 2 or 3 years?
It's been about 2 years, yeah. 2.5 now.
Women?
Being single.
I know, but women?
No.
No.
No, not even like interested or curious. I mean, there's hot women, definitely.
I'm just saying, if she hasn't been with a guy for 2 years, I'm just asking if she maybe, you know.
Tiny Dancer, you're going to explode. You got to do something.
Yeah.
You gotta get out. You gotta get out there and, you know,
Mike, you're
release some
around.
Tension.
I know. See the look on your face. It's beyond creepy.
Yeah.
It's a little interesting. I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah,
I don't really know
me
what that
too.
Means.
All right. Well, welcome, Tiny Dancer. It's good to have you.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Finally, somebody's happy with my hire.
I wish everyone had your resume and your background. I'll tell you that. Wow. God bless America.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1. What it do, nephew?
Ordinarily, it's not good news when you've got to hang out with Psycho Mike, but in this case, I think you'll be okay with it because it's a pair of tickets for the private K-Rock Backlot Tour at Universal Studios Hollywood for Halloween Horror Nights. October 10th is when you get to go. That's the prize for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067.
Imagine Mike's tour of Universal Studios.
This is me standing here in front of Universal Studios. These are my abs in front of Back to the Future, the ride.
Just him. Just
can you get out of the way so we can take a picture?
Right, here's me and my hair in front of Backdraft.
Him being him all the time.
Well, there have to be some attractions that have macho things happen, right, that Mike can get excited about. Here's where King Kong was. He was buff.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be more excited than himself. I mean,
no.
Come
it's
on.
Just him in front of attractions.
That's true.
He is the
That's
attraction.
True. Yeah. All right, let's begin with Jason in Canoga Park. Good morning, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, Jason.
Sorry to wake you up,
Jason. Do you read? Over.
Lost him.
Mm. He's there.
Uh-huh. There he is.
I can hear him.
Can you hear us? Yeah, you hold
Please
on.
Please pay attention. Yeah,
thank
turn
you.
That radio down,
oh,
sport.
Dude. See, the problem is that we have a delay, so it's like 8 seconds behind. So if you turn the radio up, you sound like an idiot.
Right.
That's why we always say turn it down.
Maybe we should hire interns who can tell people that on the phone instead of interns who used to be strippers.
Wrong.
Okay.
That's a bad
right.
idea.
What a flimsy bitch you are.
I'm just saying that should be part of the job is to let the callers know
well,
that.
Let me see.
Keep the radio turned
Answering
down.
Phones, stripper pot dealers. Yeah, let me see which way we should go.
By the way, just for the record, they tell them a lot, and listeners sometimes don't turn it down anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ben in Chatsworth. Good morning, Ben.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
All right, so this fireproof movie, I saw a trailer for it. That is the most horrible movie I've ever seen. I want to find the guy that made it and beat him over the head with a Bible.
Hmm.
It does. If you go to, there's a website, I think it's fireproofthemovie.com, I think is the website. If you watch the scenes from the movie on the trailer, you wouldn't see this on television. This wouldn't be like on a Lifetime made for TV movie.
And you're
it's
saying
horrible.
That because you hate Christians.
Yeah, that's
right. No, no.
I'm
a fireman and all women hate us, so I don't know. Everybody makes
yeah, that's true.
Everybody makes a movie about us having relationship problems.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Nah, I got you. No, I just said that because people emailed Ralph and said, why do you hate Christians? And he's I'm making fun of
bad movies.
You know, the sad part is that it was number 4, right?
Right.
And so there's no impetus for them to make a better movie because they kind of seem to have a built-in audience. So they can just put whatever they want out there and people will go. What they need to do is say, yeah, we're Christians, but we demand good entertainment too.
This is my same argument with the Tyler Perry movies.
Yep.
I say, if the black folk keep going to Tyler Perry movies, you're never going to get a better black movie. You're just going to get more Tyler Perry movies.
That is true. Let's go to Rochelle in Inglewood. Good morning, Rochelle.
What? Hey, what it do?
What it do?
I saw Kathy Griffin get kicked out of my store yesterday.
Awesome. For what?
She came in with all her little dogs and was just making this whole big scene. Her dog peed on one of the dresses.
She was in a dress store?
She had to leave.
She was in a dress store with dogs.
Yeah, and that's we sell high-end dresses.
How many dogs?
2 dogs.
That's crazy.
Look, unless you're going to Petco, you should never take your dog into a retail establishment.
No.
Well, but that's the thing. She thought she had a plan because she has this extremely gay Asian assistant that cleans up after them.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And
so he was walking around behind the dogs but then didn't?
Pretty much. He only cleaned up poopy, he said.
Oh, well,
he's got a specialty.
You got to have limits.
Yeah. Wow.
She needs to hire another assistant to clean up the urine then.
We need to save this call for the next time she's in.
Yeah.
And
she'll deny it, naturally.
Yeah. But
thanks for the call. Let's talk to Josh in Glendale. On line 3. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephews? What it do, baby? Bro?
What it do, Josh?
What's going on?
Psycho!
Hi.
Wow.
Sorry, I got a little semi. Check it out. I was watching The Hills last night. What is up with Spencer, man? Do you guys really think he's that much of a douche?
Oh, you mean...
Like, seriously, like... No, I'm trying to ask you...
Are you asking if he turns it on for TV, like he's not really that much of a douche in real life?
Yeah. Or is he really that much Like, seriously.
I don't know. I have that same conversation with myself, and I just wonder if he's smarter than we're giving him credit for, and he realizes that's the way to be the best villain. That's the way to get to stay on the show and to be popular and to make drama for the television is to continuously do the douchiest thing in every possible situation.
I don't think his brains have anything to do with it. I think he just realizes that he gets more attention the more he behaves that way. So it's like a dog who gets more treats, you know, for not staying on, not jumping up on the furniture. It's a reward situation. So he just plays it up.
That's what worked in the past, the best. Exactly. So, yeah.
But when you watch that show, you don't understand how everybody around him, including his family and his friends, don't slap him upside the head for saying the things that he says and behaving the way that he behaves, though.
But that's what makes me think he's turning it on in front of the cameras, because...
It makes me think he's a douche because they're all used to it. That's how he behaves.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah. Well, it's not good. I'll tell you that. And I want to thank all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including actor Simon Baker. His show is called The Mentalist, and it airs again tonight at 9 o'clock on the CBS. Also, thanks to actor Simon Pegg for joining us. His film is called How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. It opens up this Friday. If you haven't heard, there's a young up-and-coming actress named Megan Fox in that movie that might be worth checking out. And thanks to Tom Morello for joining us from Rage Against the Machine. His new solo Night Watchman album is out today. It is called The Fabled City, and it's available everywhere.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show, LaQuisha is back on the program, talking about Paris Hilton's my new best buddy friend for life.
BFF.
For life.
What do? They audition to be her friend? Is that what it is? They go through challenges or something?
It's a reality show where contestants join the show and they have to compete to become her new BFF.
That's just dumb.
That's a hell of a prize.
It is a hell of a prize. Also tomorrow, we got to talk to people who are taking fat out of their ass and injecting it in their lips. Well, that's funny. That's not funny to you guys, honestly.
It's no.
They're taking fat out of their ass.
Yeah,
they're putting it in their lips. Oh, you miss out on the sweetest things in life, Ralph.
It doesn't really have anything to do with their ass, though, Kevin. It's just they're going under the skin because that's where they can easily collect fat to redistribute in other parts of the body that need it. That's all. It's not like they're playing the national anthem by farting. I mean, they're not really using their ass. It's just that's where the fat's coming from.
The national anthem by farting.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not really an ass-centric operation is what I'm telling you.
I'm telling you it comes out of your ass. It's ass-centric. That's what I'm telling you. I don't know how else to...
They're moving the fat. It's just the fat. They'll move the ass.
They're moving
an
the ass
on your face.
Yes,
now, that
do.
Would be funny.
It grows
if
into
they
an
did
ass.
An ass transplant
and you talk
on your
out
face.
Your sphincter. That's how
no,
it works.
No, that's not how it works
that's
at all.
How
there's
it
no,
works.
And there's no butthole on your forehead. I mean, nothing gets rearranged like you're imagining. It's not nearly as glamorous and exciting as you want it
Who's
to be.
Who's the doctor? You or me?
Well, you are the doctor. That's true.
Also, tomorrow, the baseball playoffs start, Dodgers and Angels, and we're going to have somebody really important to talk about that.
Tommy Lasorda?
Don't know who yet.
MCO?
And the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, will be here tomorrow as well on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Cat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including Incubus, their song Love Hurts, also Guns N' Roses. We got The Killers, Rise Against Nirvana, and more. And we're going to let our old friend Rodney Bingenheimer have the last word today.
Girls love sex.